about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Ding ba da da, ding ba da da, ding ba da da, ding ba da da.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Blimey 100 with the Pretenders and stop your sobbing. No need to be crying. 4th of July is coming up. I'm David Hall. Glad you're listening today, and I hope you'll be listening Sunday night when the 4th of July weekend is winding down. At 7 o'clock, we'll have another great music. God, mother damn it.
La 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 la. La 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 la.
What the f*** did Kevin say? What the f*** did Kevin say? What the f*** did Kevin just say?
And now...
How stoned are you two?
Banked out of our skulls. But you shouldn't do drugs.
You've convinced me.
Our feature presentation.
It helps.
Who is that guy?
We have found out that it helps if you're high when listening to our show.
Who is the guy that was swearing?
Which guy?
The one that was like, good morning and thanks for joining us.
I don't know. I don't remember where I got it, but it was some guy who was what they call voice tracking, laying down talk breaks for his show to air, and then it did air. He screwed it up and started swearing, and then it did air, and somebody captured it on tape and sent it around, so it was pretty funny.
Best. I love those so much.
Yeah, because anytime you're recording something, you're not live on the air. You screw it up, and you're pissed at yourself, so you blew words, and then, that's not really supposed to end up on the air.
Are they called blue words?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to take your phone calls for the Wednesday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. That's going to be the telephone number. You get on the air, you get a prize. I like to bring you an interesting tidbit first thing, but today I can't decide. I got two that I want you to choose between.
Mm. We'll be the judge of interesting.
I think you're going to like them both, but you tell me which one you like the most.
Right.
You can either have New Zealand Virgin auctions herself for tuition, or you can have New Jersey man indicted for shooting his pet parrot.
Ooh.
Oh, I...
Well, Kevin, you're going to go for the virgin, aren't you? And I kind of want the parrot.
One has sex, one shooting a bird. You got to go with the sex story.
All right. A New Zealand teenager who says she auctioned her virginity online for $32,000 to raise tuition money did not break any laws.
Okay.
Police warned on Wednesday that it might, however, be risky for her to follow through on the deal. I'm reading this article. Yesterday we had the story about Australia banning small breasts, which obviously makes it, the front runner for the greatest country on earth because they're the only ones that have come to their senses.
They're moronic and they think that it will encourage people who are pedophiles because they look like children, apparently.
That's another way to put it. Yeah. This article, I go on to find out that prostitution is legal in New Zealand among consenting adults. It's allowed in brothels and on the street, and offering sexual services in print ads and online is also legal.
Wow.
No kidding.
So that's a fairly liberal approach to prostitution, isn't it?
Fairly liberal. There's no law whatsoever about it, it turns out.
I mean, even on the street, it's legal. I mean, you can't even solicit on the street in places like Amsterdam that are kind of famous for their sexual policies. So anyway, so she did, and this has happened before in other countries around the world, but apparently no laws were broken. It is completely legal. And she said, look, I want to go to college. I don't have any way to go to college. I'm a virgin, and they have all the health checks out, and it's safe.
Wow.
Let's do it. $32,000.
Wow.
Which seems pricey to me.
of course it seems too much.
It does seem pricey, but I mean, maybe
you're a cheap bastard, though.
But maybe you're super, super rich and $32,000 to you is five bucks to me and you have a thing for virgins. I mean, if that's the combination, then this is probably a pretty good deal.
You need somebody that just needs help paying for like a couple of credits. You don't need the whole year
maybe
of school.
Maybe just some books.
Yeah, the books. Yeah, that's what you need. And that way, it's like a $200 trade.
Well, I don't know about 200. Maybe they just need a parking pass.
Okay.
They just need a sticker for their car so they can park in lot C. That I'm willing to pony up for.
Okay.
For your virginity. So anyway, so naturally there are all sorts of people that are up in arms saying she shouldn't do it and blah, 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 blah. But I say good on you.
All right. Time for your calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You missed first dial is 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
All right. How about a pair of tickets to the Auto Club 500? It's coming up on February 21st. You guys know what day of the week that is?
Sunday.
It's going to be at the Auto Club Speedway. It's the start of NASCAR season, and that's your prize for getting on the air. Why don't we? That's not even the right button. Why don't we start with? Why don't we start with our man Brandon, who sounds like he's put a lot of thought into his call today.
Brandon, hi.
Hey, what did you guys?
What did you do?
Hey, you know that promotion Ford has where you go test drive a car and you get free lift tickets?
Yes, to Mammoth.
Well, yeah, I was driving on my way home and I was like, you know what? I should do that before I go home. And I thought about it. I was like, no, I want to work out and then I'll go do it. And so I go work out. Me and my girlfriend go down to the dealership. We go up to the guy. He goes, oh, yeah, come on in. We're still doing it. And as soon as we walk in into the showroom, he looks to his boss and goes, hey, I got another one for the Mammoth lift ticket thing. He looks over at me. His eyes get kind of big, and he's like, oh, man, literally 60 seconds ago, my boss just emailed me. We gave away the last set for the whole company, and
excellent.
It ended the promotion.
Excellent.
And he had nothing else to say after that.
Yeah.
You lose.
So interesting.
So I
dozed off during Brandon's call, but he's basically saying he went and did a test drive to win a prize, and then they were out of the prize?
Yes, correct.
Oh, that wasn't as exciting as I hoped it would be. All right, thanks for the call, Jim. Appreciate that. Why don't we try, let's try Brian, who's calling on line 7. He's got a follow-up to our New Zealand story.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, come on that New Zealand story, how are they going to prove she's a virgin?
Interesting question.
Well, there are ways to prove it, but I don't know that she's going to go about it. But I also, I don't know.
Well, first of all, I don't think there are any ways to prove it.
Yeah, but second, maybe she fell off a horse.
Oh, well,
yeah, exactly.
I rode a bicycle.
Yeah, exactly.
And second of all, I guess that's something that the winning bidder is going to have to decide that he's, you know, that he believes her.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, it's
depends
how hot she is.
Honestly, when it gets down to it, do they really care? I mean, maybe a little, but
for $32,000, they better care.
Okay.
Well,
I think they do. I don't think you pay that kind of money, especially in a country where prostitution is legal, just to have sex. I think it has to be the thrill of I'm first.
Exactly.
All right, let me make a note, move to New Zealand.
All right. Well, we know that that is always fun, too, for everyone.
Sex with virgins?
Yeah.
It's the best.
Good time for everyone.
Good times. Let's go to Hellman. Hey, Hellman.
Hey, how's it going? What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Well, with the situation claiming to be the new king of reality TV, I'm actually kind of surprised Spencer hasn't called in for rebuttal to defend his throne.
Oh, who is the king of reality TV? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would think that would make Spencer angry, as he does see himself as America's king.
Oh, I'm sure.
I know, so I was just kind of surprised he hasn't called into your show.
We'll try and make that happen.
I'm glad to hear that.
All right.
He's quite busy, you know, pumping Heidi's new album.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for the call.
You know that Spencer has a Google alert on his own name that he must check, you know, once per 60 seconds.
Right.
So he saw that story as soon as it hit, and he has to just be fuming.
Yeah, of course.
Because he considers that he's all that.
Yeah, of course. All right, let's go to Christian. Hi, Christian.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's going on?
What did you do?
I just wanted to say, you know, I'm a big football fan. I love football. I love the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They haven't been doing that great. But I'm not going to go as far to give away one of my testicles for Super Bowl tickets.
Yeah,
that thought never even came to mind when they went to the Super Bowl 4 years
ago. That's what I think about this kind of stuff is it's not like you have to fight this question. Oh, should I or shouldn't I? It never occurs to you.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I love my testicles way more than I love football. I love football a lot, but I love my testicles more.
Yeah. All right, but let me just suggest to you that you're not nearly as big a fan of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as the guy that we talked to is a fan of the New Orleans Saints. How about that?
The only thing that I could say that guy has on me for his fan loyalty is that he grew up in New Orleans. I didn't grow up in Tampa, but I am still a dedicated diehard fan.
He grew up in New Orleans, and he's willing to give up a ball.
Right, yeah. He's got that going for him.
If you believe him. Which I
don't really think I believe this guy.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah. All right, I totally believe him, but I also don't think. I mean, I think he would do it, but I don't think he's going to get the opportunity to. Because I don't think anybody's going to take him up. And as Kevin pointed out, who wants a testicle that also has a ticket? That's a pretty small subset of people.
It really is.
Exactly. I would rather keep my Super Bowl ticket than some random guy's testicle to keep in a jar on my shelf.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I don't see that working. But thank you for the call.
And you're just not that much of a fan. I mean, let's say that it really does go back to that. If you really like your team, you put your balls where your mouth. Well, I'm not even going to finish that. Let's try Gary on line 2 and figure out what's wrong with him.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, dudes.
Hey.
Hey.
What's going on?
Hey, why didn't you record your first show?
Why what?
What are you talking about?
The very first Kevin and Bean.
Why didn't you record it?
Why didn't we record it?
I think we did.
I don't know.
I think we did record it.
I don't know whether we did or not, but I do know that we had no idea what we were doing, so we were probably quite nervous.
Oh, well, I know that a few months ago on the air, you said that you didn't record your first show, and you put out a call for people that had it.
All right, you're very, very happy with yourself, but let's get to what point.
You have it.
You have our first show?
I do.
Oh, can you burn
it? I have it on cassette.
Would you mind burning it?
Do you mean burning it to a CD or burning it in a fireplace?
Burning it in a fireplace.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, I think we need to have that.
I think so, too.
Well, I'd love to give it to you.
Okay, all right.
But maybe there's some way we can work that out.
Why do you have it?
Well, my daughter was really young at the time, and I was recording her to get her voice saying the K-Rock ID.
Mm-hmm.
And I got her after about 20 times, and she didn't even get mad at me for making her do it 20 times. But I kept recording everything, and you know, like Poor Man and the Eagle. And
you were recording why? To see if your daughter's voice made it on the air?
Well, I was going to use it to, because I would always do K-Rock IDs back in the day.
Right.
And, okay. All right, listen, we'll talk to you off the air and see if there's any way we can get this, but you're too annoying to continue on the air.
Okay, cool.
All right, good. We agree on that. You guys are with me, right?
Well, we are, but you're a little harsh today.
I'm not harsh. It's just bring it.
Let's go.
Bring it, people.
Yeah, I hear you.
He was way too happy with himself. That was part of it.
Why do they have higher standards than we do? That's my question. If we don't have to bring it, why do they have to bring it?
Well, that's a good point.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
Ozzy Osbourne wrote a book called I Am Ozzy.
That's right. Or someone wrote a book called I Am Ozzy.
Somebody wrote it. It's in his voice, though. If you read it, you go, oh, yeah, that's certainly in the way Ozzy talks. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to him today on the show.
He has not had a boring life.
Not since he was born. No.
That's right.
He went to jail, all kinds of stuff.
Really?
That's fascinating about him. American Idol highlights from last night.
Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum.
The star of Human Target, Mark Valley, on the program today.
Love that show.
Me too. We got an instant request that we just got a second ago. We're going to try and make happen the situation and Spencer.
Okay.
Oh, you think we can round those guys up today? Great.
Yes, hopefully. The fourth grade Fight Club. I don't know if you saw this, but there's
are they coming in to play live? I love their first album.
There's a teacher who told two students, look, just fight it out in the classroom.
Oh, wow.
So they punched each other and they got all bloody. And then he said, go to the principal's office and just lie. Tell him that you bumped into each other. So that guy is in a little bit of trouble. Just a little. Images that you saw when you were a kid that you can't get out of your mind. We all seem to have one or two of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really awful stuff.
Really bad stuff, yeah.
And by the way, when we do that topic later, they can be fantastic, great images that make you happy every time you think of it. Just none of us have that experience. All of us have things that are so horrible, we wish we could flush them from our minds, but are just unable to.
Yeah. Unfortunately, most of the time, the stuff you remember is not positive.
Yeah.
But, and we're going to give you some new videos with the Internet Roundup coming up just after 6 o'clock. We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat next. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 5:53.
And you know, I like Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. Beyond cute. Right. She's really tall, you know.
No one asked.
She's not going to go for me, that's for sure.
Right.
Oh, I think she might go for you, actually. I think you two would be very happy together, Roddy. All right, Kevin and Bean Show. What is it, Wednesday already?
Yep.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
How great was last night's loss?
Let's talk about it because Bean hasn't seen it.
Oh, absolutely. First of all, yet another timeline? I don't know if I can handle yet another timeline.
Yeah.
Happening concurrently with the current timeline.
I'm not sure I am fully prepared mentally to understand this show.
Then, so we're dealing with an alternate universe, basically. We've got running concurrently with the one we know.
Oh,
right.
My God.
Then, on top of it, brand new tribe of people on the island we have to be introduced to. First it was the crash victims, then it was the tailies, then it was the others, and now we got the Templies.
Is that needed?
It is for what they're trying to do.
Yeah, you wouldn't think, but it is. It's great, but it's just a little overwhelming to think that there's a whole another group of people now we are going to have to
All right, having seen
in jest,
having seen the first episode of this year's the final season, you all in, part in.
I'm pushing all my chips to the center of the table.
Yeah, I think it was really good.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
brilliantly done and completely involving.
Yeah,
I agree. I was captivated.
Here's my question:
what happened?
What happened?
Well. Apparently.
No, don't, because some people haven't seen it yet.
Well, F those people. Watch the show. You only had was a year and a half lead up to it. All you had was a little headway.
Although there was an hour recap and a 2-hour episode. That's a lot of time.
I didn't go for the recap.
Oh, I needed to. I needed to badly.
I just jumped in.
All right.
But,
thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Thumbs way, way up. Good stuff. Let's take a look at the celebrity sick bay, shall we? Justin Mentel. An actor who was on Boston Legal and other TV series died in a car crash yesterday. He was 27 years old. And Captain Phil Harris of the Cornelia Marie. He is one of the fishing boat captains from The Deadliest Catch.
Oh.
He's a crabber.
Yeah.
Apparently he had a stroke while his crab boat was in port at St. Paul Island, Alaska. And he had to undergo surgery and was put into a drug-induced coma to reduce the possibility of further swelling of the brain.
Wow.
So they're hoping for the best, but they're still obviously monitoring him to see how he's recovering. But they say there's an excellent chance he could recover. But luckily for him, he was in port when it happened. Can you imagine being out at sea, crabbing, all of a sudden you throw a clot?
Yeah,
lights
you're dead.
Out.
Yeah, that's not good.
Might as well use you for crab bait. Chop you up, put you in the baskets, throw you back down.
Chum the water?
To the bottom of the ocean. Speaking of bottom of the ocean, Lost!
I know!
What is that?
What was that?
What was that?
What was that?
Just love it, that's all I know.
What happened?
I know! Don't get me started on Saeed. Jessica Simpson needs to have her Twitter sewn shut.
Oh. I didn't know she was dating anyone.
She's tweeting all the time now.
Right, but why would you want to silence that kind of brain?
The other day, she had to take her grandmother to the hospital, and so she tweeted that she was bored and decided she was going to start looking around the hospital for hot doctors. Grandma's sick, going down for the last count, and she's perusing the halls for hot doctors.
And tweeting about it. More importantly. Mm-hmm.
You're quite the granddaughter, Jessica Simpson.
That was typical, Jessica.
I don't think I want her taking care of me. I think if I'm her grandma, I'm asking anybody else.
Anybody else in the family that could give you a ride?
Just anyone else.
I'll walk. Just give me my cane.
It's 5 miles.
I'm fine. Thank you. By the way, Star Magazine says that she is dating Taylor Kitsch. Kitsch, who is apparently on a show called Friday Night Lights.
Haven't heard of it.
Which airs on the 101.
The freeway.
Yeah. But, they put it on live right by the guardrail. It's the only place you can
like
see
a play?
Anymore. Yeah, they put it on like a play right there by the guardrail. I think it's mile 1.8 near the call box.
The find them there. Ladies love this kid. He plays Tim Riggins on the show, and he's a little bit of a
hot.
Yeah, ladies dig him.
Speaking of ladies, Psycho Mike is going to be very pleased.
What?
I've got some news for you, Psycho Mike.
Yeah.
Usually when it comes to theater and Broadway and musicals, that's Lisa May's domain.
Of course.
But I think Psycho Mike may be entering into that domain. Just announced by Playbill.com this week, there is a musical in the works based on the book and movie American Psycho.
How about that?
Patrick Bateman on Broadway.
How many times have you watched that movie?
500 some.
That is an effed up movie.
Yeah, sure is. And I'm sure it'll be an effed up musical. The songs will be written by Duncan Sheik, who had a bit of a pop career for a while, but then he went on to much more acclaim on Broadway, being the musical force behind another Broadway success called Spring Awakening.
I'm going to kill you with the chainsaw. That kind of stuff?
Pretty much, yes. Right. Kevin, you should audition. You'd be strong.
That could be good. I could see that as a play.
Kind of like a Sweeney Todd kind of thing.
Sure.
You know, murder and blood stuff everywhere. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Actress Morgan Fairchild celebrates her 60th birthday. She is still famous, and I'm not really quite sure why. Morgan Fairchild.
Yeah.
Old Navy?
I don't either.
Yeah, I mean, the Old Navy commercials, but even back when she was originally famous, I'm not really quite sure why she was famous. She was kind of always famous for being Morgan Fairchild.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think she had a series, but I'm hard-pressed to sort
Flamingo
of
Flamingo Road?
Flamingo Road? Was she in that?
There was never a show called Flamingo Road.
It was on the Lisa Network.
This Sunday. Right after Brothers and Sisters.
Right after Guys Who Have Trees. I don't. It's Sisters on Flamingo Road.
I don't get the Lisa Network, and I think that's good.
Yeah, probably good for all of us. Speaking of Broadway, Nathan Lane, Broadway star and movie star as well, is 54 years old today.
Oh!
Lee Ranaldo of Sonic Youth turns 54. Actress Maura Tierney is 45. Isla Fisher from Wedding Crashers and other feature films celebrates her 34th birthday. Rapper Sean Kingston is 28. And Thomas Calabro, you know him better, is Dr. Michael Mancini on Melrose Place. Yeah. Woo! Woo! Woo!
Too much excitement.
Woo! He's 51 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What about Ozzy Osbourne on the Kevin and Bean Show next hour? What about that, by the way?
Ozzy.
The man that Psycho Mike has tattooed his signature on his chest, Ozzy Osbourne, joins us next hour talking about his new autobiography, and we'll tell you how you can meet Ozzy. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, Kevin, but I'm already very excited about our best of 2010 shows at the end of this year.
What? At the end of this year in December?
Yes, this December 2010, once again, we will count down the annual best dubs on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm already starting to compile the list of the best sound bites of 2010. For instance, I'm very much looking forward to see where this one ranks at the end of the year.
We've got Snooki.
I mean, that's something, I have a feeling that one's going to, this one may even, we may have already heard the number one sound bite of 2010.
Too much information and man.
I mean, yeah, that may be, who knows, that could be on the list. So we got a bunch of those. The other category that the listeners seem to enjoy so much is the moments with. Now,
these are great. The
brain farts that we all have. Although, I don't know. Has Psycho Mike ever had a moment with? I don't think he has.
I don't think so either.
I have had, take that backs, but I have never had a moment with.
Well, I think the thing is that when you try to abbreviate things, when you try to say big things in small, you know, amounts of time,
right,
sometimes you kind of get mixed up. Mike doesn't do that.
Right.
He'll take a 10-second story and make it a minute and a half.
That's true.
So he's got plenty of time to flesh it out.
Right.
Lisa has only ever had a couple of moments with in the whole time she's been on the show. Yeah. Kevin and I are, we're I mean, seriously, we're hitting three-pointers every time we get out on the court.
You're being nice. I have five times as many as anyone. Maybe. Six.
I do know that we're off to a great start in 2010. I mean, there's going to be, if we continue at this pace, there's going to be tremendous competition for the best moment with. So even though we're only a little over a month into the new year, we thought it might be fun.
Wow.
Because listeners may not have heard all of these. It might be fun to kind of look back on the moments with that we've already put up on the board.
And this is not us trying to be funny. It's not us trying to, you know, it's us trying.
Trying to do your job really just is what you're doing.
Trying to say what we need to say on a daily basis, and it doesn't always go well.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Was the first girl, are you here to protect us, not hot? Was that the case? The first girl, let's say that.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Yeah, that was about Legion.
I like how you go back and try and somehow clarify or explain.
Like it's his fault, like he doesn't understand. I was talking to Ralph. So that happened, and then this happened.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
We owe every one of you that listens to the show a great debt of gratitude. I don't think that's what I meant to say.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Pretty strong. Pretty strong.
Okay, so two for me.
Yeah.
All right.
Here's the third one, Mike.
This is you as well.
Okay.
All right.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Yeah, not even an accident. I mean, it's not even just, you don't do it on purpose. You also don't make accidents. You know, you have to do it like they say.
What happened?
That was,
I don't even remember that.
With Kevin.
All right, that is clearly the winner so far.
I must have been high.
Wow. And by the way, I probably shouldn't, I don't need to point this out, but it has to be sadly. We're professional broadcasters,
not
okay?
Really.
Those clips that you've just heard all happened within the same 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the beginning of this year. But we're new, and so you can see how we're trying to find our way.
But I'm thinking about all the other radio shows that don't have one of those in a year, and we are just churning them out. It's crazy the level that we have sunk to.
Well, I did appreciate that you jumped in and tried to get one that was as good as mine.
Mm-hmm.
I do appreciate that you gave it your all.
And now, a moment with Bean.
We couldn't be more delighted to welcome our next guest back to the show. He won an Emmy last year for Best Outstanding Actor in Lost for the show. Tyga Lamerson plays Benjamin Linus.
That was just a moment with me.
Yeah, that was yesterday when we had Ben from Lost on.
He, very impressive.
Michael Emerson, and wow.
Thank you, Lisa. We could already have our number one. We could only hope that we have some more clips as good as that one throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. I got to tell you, I wish I went to the school because I would have fit right in. There's a dude, a Queens teacher, who apparently turned his classroom into a boxing arena. He had two students that were arguing, and mm-hmm. he said, all right, listen. Let's settle this once and for all with a fight. In his classroom.
Let's man up.
Fourth graders.
That really? Sounds reasonable. That's how you're supposed to settle disagreements.
Guy's name is Joseph Galata, and he's 29 years old, and he had all the other students back up, give them space, and he had them start fighting. And then apparently one of them rammed the other one with his head and his lip, cut the kid's lip, bruised the kid's head. And then he sent him to the nurse's office saying that they dropped a pencil. Tell him you dropped a pencil. And then you were both reaching down to get it, and you bumped heads.
Okay.
Not
you
a
may,
smart teacher.
No. You may differ with his methods, but was mission accomplished? Did the kids work it out? Did they settle their argument?
I don't know, but I do know that Galata and his DA, not DA, what do you call it? Teacher's assistant.
Oh, he's TA.
TA,
were
right?
charged with two counts each of acting in a manner injurious to a child under 17 and could face up to a year in jail.
Wow.
Fourth grade fight club. Come on.
I think, first of all, that's a great band. I hope they're on Coachella. And second of all, I think that those kids are going to be fine. Like, kids fight. That's what they do.
Right, but
they hit each other, they move on.
Was he taking action from the other kids?
I hear you. It's just, it's odd that it's sanctioned by a teacher in a classroom.
I mean, I support him.
That seems bad, right? Just on the surface of it.
Well, let's not make any judgments until we've heard the whole story, Kevin. We asked producer Alex to look into this story for us. And from Queens, New York, he is currently on suspension, I think, but we'll find out. Joseph Galata joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Teach. How are you?
Yeah. What?
Did we get the facts right about what happened that day in your fourth grade classroom?
Yeah, mostly you got them right, except you forgot the fact to mention that 10-year-olds are soft.
Wow. Yeah, it doesn't say that anywhere here. I didn't know.
Well, let me tell you from experience. They're soft.
Okay.
You get them in a room, you make them fight, and the next thing you know is a bunch of crying, and then people telling tales, and they can't hold their mud.
Well, yeah, but
they're rats. They're soft little rats. That's what they are.
But I don't think it's your job as a teacher to make them tough, is it?
Yeah, it's my job. Okay. I'm trying to prepare them for the world, right? Isn't that a job of a teacher, getting prepared?
Well, I think mentally, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Well, mentally also, mental toughness.
Okay.
Mental toughness. So when I tell you to go to the nurse and say you got hurt picking up a pencil, that's what you do.
Okay, all right.
All right, first of all.
Because they're rats, because they're little 10-year-old rats who should be whacked.
Well, okay, I don't know about whacked. I mean, that seems extreme.
Yeah, you don't know. I know.
All right.
They should be whacked.
Okay.
At least they should be kneecapped.
Okay. All right.
Teach them a lesson. I'm a teacher. I'll teach them a lesson. You talk, you squeal, you get whacked. That's the lesson for today. Close the book.
So you're only mad that they told what really happened.
Look, I'm mad because they didn't follow the family story, okay?
Right. It's not a family.
It is a family. We're all in this together in our classroom, all together. We belong to an organization.
Joseph, did it ever occur to you that with the entire class watching, somebody might talk?
No, because this is our thing of ours, you know? This is our thing.
That's your thing?
That's right. And we take an oath. We take an oath when you join my classroom that you don't talk about these things. Anyone outside the classroom,
no,
you know what I'm saying?
You're confused. They're 9 and 10-year-olds who are going to school to learn how to read and write. They're not joining the mafia. You're not raising the Sopranos here. You're supposed to be teaching these kids so they can get a job and work after school.
I'm teaching life lessons. That's more important than hey, Jimmy and Janie. They go to the store. They got a nickel. How many pieces of gum can they buy? Freak that! I'm teaching them important things, like, you know, those Zuzu pets, those little hamster pets that they love to play with?
Yeah, right.
You take a bunch of those and stick them in a pillowcase, you can beat a kid and not leave marks.
Well, that's what you teach them.
That's what I teach them. Yeah, that's what I teach them.
All right, it sounds like you have a little bit of an anger management problem that maybe you're passing along to your children.
Why don't you come and try to beat it out of me then?
I would like to see that
you
happen.
You got a problem with me? You got a problem with me? Come fix me then.
Right, but I don't
maybe
think
you got a problem. Maybe you got the freaking problem.
But I don't think we need to fight about it. Isn't there a way that reasonable adults can just have a discussion?
We don't have to fight about it. Oh. Let's go get a latte. Let's get some sponge cake. You're the problem with the kids today.
Wow.
That people like you are teaching them that it's okay to be soft.
Wow.
You know what happens when you're soft?
What?
You get eaten out there. It's a jungle.
Right.
You like a Pillsbury Doughboy. Hee, hee, hee. You get poked in the stomach and you laugh, and then somebody makes a crescent roll out of you.
I'm not sure I follow that analogy, but it's...
Wait.
What was that, Mr. Galata?
What? I'm working out some kids. I got some new kids I'm working on.
Oh, well, you're not hitting the kids, I hope.
No, I'm not hitting them. They're hitting each other.
Oh, but maybe this isn't a good idea in light of the story.
Problem is they weren't well trained. So I got like a training camp here, teaching kids how to handle themselves.
Okay, but
and how to shut the freak up.
But shouldn't they be learning about, I don't know, American history instead?
They're going to be learning about history. You make the other guy history when you knock his ass out.
Right. But, this seems like a bad idea, but they do sound like they're landing some blows.
Oh, these kids hit solid. It's amazing the leverage they can get.
Yeah.
It does sound like you're raising the next generation of the situation and Snooki.
Hey, don't even start with that crap. I'm not down with that. I'm not down with the tanning and everything else. No, I'm not raising that.
But what about the fighting? They fight a lot.
Yeah, they fight a lot.
Right.
But they're not good. It's like one punch and they're done.
I see.
And that's not exciting. I want to go 4 or 5 rounds.
How many times is that kid going to get hit?
How many times are you going to get hit? That's the question.
I'm not in the classroom.
No, you know what? If you were in my classroom, this 10-year-old could kick your ass.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
They raise them tough out there in Queens, don't they?
Yeah.
All right, listen. Maybe you should stop this fight.
Maybe you should stop this bit. How long is this going to go on?
As long as you can keep punching.
Come on. Okay.
We are having a big game party Sunday at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa featuring a performance by Pepper. You can show up. It's free.
And Salt going to be there?
No, Salt is not going to be there.
Salt
just Pepper.
And Pepper broke up?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. How about Spinderella? Would she be dropping by?
I don't believe so.
Oh.
Psycho Mike will be there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. It is 10 minutes till 7 o'clock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, I didn't get a chance to watch The Lost last night. But from what I understand, all questions have been answered, and it's nothing but smooth sailing for the rest of the final season now.
Yeah, now it's like a sitcom.
There's no questions
Sawyer,
anymore.
I'm home. Ha ha, laugh track. And then Kate makes dinner. It's very calming.
Well,
show now.
I'm looking forward to starting that about 5 minutes after the end of today's program. I can't wait.
See, they They set the bomb off to stop the electromagnetic field so that the plane will never have crash landed on the island. The end of last season. That's what they did.
That was the plan, the setup.
Right.
And
it worked, but it didn't work.
But it did.
So that's all you need to know.
But didn't it?
That it also worked and not worked.
Okay. All right. There's a reason they call the show Lost.
Yeah. They're not on the island anymore. And they are.
And they are.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Okay. Good time.
If you haven't seen it, you're a Lost fan. You have to. It's good.
It's amazing.
But
they're up in the ante.
They are.
Yes.
And it worked and it didn't work at the same time.
Yes.
Only
you need to know.
Only this show could try and pull that off.
John Locke is dead.
That's correct.
Or he's alive.
And he isn't. That's all we need to know.
Okay.
I will tell you that we find out who John Locke is.
Yes, did we ever in a big, big way.
And
do we?
Bean, you
I'm
will
sorry
freak
you had to see
out.
Me like that.
Greatest line ever on Lost.
I'm sorry you had to see me like that.
You will freak out, Bean.
Sorry you had to see me like that.
Okay. All right. Can I take the rest of the day off and go watch it now and then just come back at the end of the show?
No. Sorry.
Gotta wait. That was the best scene.
That was great, wasn't it?
That whole setup.
Awesome. Ben is just, he's not in control anymore.
No, he's not.
Ben Linus is just crapping his pants now forever.
And he doesn't like that.
No, he doesn't. All right, enough about that. Let's talk about other things, shall we? Let's talk about Jennifer Lopez and her sex tape.
What?
Excuse me?
All right.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Please, file.
I'm bringing it back.
No, you're not bringing it back. No one's bringing that back.
Yeah, baby.
That was that was never here, excuse me. Only dumbasses
fifth
said
grade,
that.
I think.
Yeah, once. And then you got beat up. You never said it again.
I'll never forget Mr. Galetta's class.
Jennifer Lopez, according to her ex-husband, Ohani Noah, they made a little bedroom action videotape together.
And this would have been a long time ago. This is her first husband, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
And he wants to release the footage.
Yes.
Which he claims he also includes Jennifer making out with another woman. and her giving him a lap dance.
All right.
Sold. Sold.
But Jennifer Lopez's lawyers are trying to put a kibosh on the whole situation and not allow this footage to be released.
Huh.
Saying it was a one-off and it was private and she doesn't do that kind of thing. So now Ohani Noah's legal eagles are trying to talk to Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Combs and see if they can get him to disclose that they made sex tapes together too. And if that's the case, apparently it will have some sort of sway in their legal arguments. I'm not quite sure how.
Because she clearly wanted him out?
Yeah, maybe.
By doing them, maybe. Several of them? Does she say...
Do you want me to start face up or face down?
I don't think she mentions that. Maybe what Sean P. Diddy Puff Daddy Combs is she does.
I thought that she long ago paid this guy off and they had some sort of non-disclosure arrangement and he, you know, has been pretty tight-lipped about their time together ever since.
Sure.
Now maybe he's out of money.
Yeah, I think he's out of cash. I think he wanted to write a book. I know that she put the kibosh on, but I don't know about the videos.
Are we sure that wasn't Chris Judd, her other forgotten about?
No, I was talking about the first one, yeah.
That's true. He's been sort of quiet, too.
You want to have unprotected sex?
Does he say that?
Yes.
Yes, he says that.
All right. A lot of people say that to their wives.
Megan Fox is a simple girl, according to Star Magazine. She said she grew up poor. And so often, lunch or dinner for her would be her mom making her a Wonder Bread and bologna sandwich. And she says she still craves and loves bologna to this day.
Yes, she
does. Loves eating bologna. She loves to eat the bologna.
Yay!
Yes, she does.
She's a little bit of a white trash girl, this Megan Fox, with her Wonder Bread and her bologna.
I'm good with that.
I wonder if she uses ketchup or mayo on the bologna sandwich.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
That's a big divider. You
is
know?
It?
Yeah. Whether you use
it divides people right down the middle.
It does. Some people are hardcore ketchup people. Some people
I'm a
hard,
mayo guy.
Hardcore. Well, of course you're a mayo guy.
Yeah. I hate ketchup.
You guys
I don't put ketchup
that
on anything.
She's a mayo girl,
you hate
right?
ketchup.
Who I hate
that
ketchup.
She's a mayo girl, right?
Yeah. Yes. Who hates ketchup?
I hate ketchup. I don't use it on anything.
How
I hate,
you
it.
Hate ketchup.
You can not I hate
like
it.
You don't I've, hate it.
I do. I hate it.
You don't.
It ruins ketchup, every food it touches.
Wrong. Oh. Ketchup has its place. Yes. On certain foods, ketchup is perfect.
French fries. Not,
yes.
Ketchup is not like onions. You can't hate ketchup.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I hate ketchup.
It's either love or don't like much. That's it. That's as strongly as you can feel.
So it's the worst condiment.
Oh, my God. You're dead.
Oh, that's
it's the worst condiment. I love mayonnaise. I love mustard. I got no problems with either of those. But ketchup, stay the away.
Bean strikes me as a mayo guy. Just sort of white, bland, and eggy.
Hammond Man, is there anything you don't know?
Yeah. I don't know if you saw Idol last night.
Did not.
They were in Denver.
You know why? Lost was on.
Yeah. I can watch a great many things in one evening. Idol was on, and they did Denver audition night. And out walked at the end of the show Bikini Boy. Because remember last year they had Bikini Girl?
Yes.
So this dude showed up as a dude who showed up in a bikini.
Excellent.
Audition.
And he thought that would be good?
Apparently it was a gag. It was a hilarious morning radio show stunt.
Oh, what a surprise.
Yeah. Apparently the guy's name, Ty Hemmerling, works for 92.5 The Wolf.
Good morning.
In Denver.
The Wolf.
And he went on the show to be hilarious.
How'd that work out?
Well, he made the show. I mean, I'm sure they got a lot of yucks out of it.
Really? Did they?
I bet on their morning show today, they're having a good time talking about how one of their guys was on the show in a bikini.
But how can they be proud of that? That's just lame. It's just lame-ass BS the guys were doing 8 seasons ago when the first show first came on, and it wasn't funny then.
And do we use the word yucks?
Well, Bean does. Captain Mayonnaise does.
I hate ketchup.
I hate ketchup.
How? That's...
Listen, he hates it because everyone else loves it. That's
no,
his, that's
I,
how he
hated
works.
It.
That's how
I've hated, I say F ketchup. I've been saying it my whole life. I'll say it till the day I die. Ask my wife. Ask my wife. She's never seen me use ketchup the whole time we've been together because I hate it.
Well, how much time does she spend with you, really?
That's a good point.
So you could have been using it for years and she wouldn't know.
And you're the only guy who likes candy corn. So
we have it
you.
In the fridge because she uses it. If she's making us,
you can't generate enough feeling about ketchup one way or the other. You can't love ketchup.
I
and
hate
you can't
it.
Hate
I
ketchup.
Think it's terrible.
Ketchup has its place sometimes when you're eating French fries or on a hot dog or a hamburger. It's got a perfect place in the food order, but you can't hate it.
It either adds a little bit or takes away a little bit. Those are the extremes.
I don't put anything on French fries, but if I am in the mood to dip, I'll use ranch dressing or something on my fries.
Not ketchup, though.
I'm oh, my God. It. Who the hell cares?
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Who's today, with me?
Today's no celebrity no birthdays? One. Nobody's with you.
Ever.
Sean Kingston, the rapper, is 28 years old today. Isla Fisher. I just vacationed there on the Isla Fisher.
Is that right?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Nice.
They have a lovely little beach condo thing right there. Right?
Gardens?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can go kayaking in the surf. It's delicious. Nice. Isla Fisher is 34 years old today. Maura Tierney, very talented actress who is undergoing treatment as we speak for cancer these days, and we wish her the well. She's 45. Thomas Calabro from Melrose Place is 51. He was Dr. Michael Mancini on that show.
Yeah, that's too much excitement, Mike.
No, oh, come on.
He was the bomb.
He could have been the bomb then, but he's not the bomb
he
now.
He is still bombing.
I don't know.
He's still bomb light. Open the Bombay doors
he's
over there on Melrose Place.
He's bomb old.
He is not.
He's sipping Bombay and tonic.
That's right. He's Obama. Nathan Lane is 54 years old today. Morgan Fairchild turned 60. And actress Blythe Danner, who is a fine actress in her own right, probably better known these days of being the mom of Gwyneth Paltrow. She is 67 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Bean, I'm with you. Ketchup is awful. It ruins everything it touches. And I hear it gives you AIDS. How many of these you want? I got a million of them. Hey, I'm with you, Bean. Ketchup is the worst. Tomatoes are the most vile thing on earth. And ketchup is nothing more than a squash tomato with sugar and vinegar added. I would rather slurp rancid tuna from Susan Boyle's hoo-ha than taste a tomato. So I think I'm getting a lot of support.
No, that's reasonable, too.
I hate tomatoes, too.
Sincerely, Bean.
All right, it's that was from Genesis.
Nah.
Someone named Genesis. All right, it's the Kevin and Bean Show, Ozzy Osbourne later this hour. But before we get to that, we came up with an interesting conversation off the air yesterday that I'm dying to get input on from the Kevin and Bean listeners. Lisa May actually brought up the topic. What was the news story that kind of inspired this discussion, Lisa?
Well, I heard this story the other day. The family of a girl who wrapped her father's sports car around a toll booth in Orange County about a year and a half ago is suing because a couple of CHP officers took photos of what she looked like after this accident, which is essentially decapitated.
Oh!
And I don't seek out these pictures, and I saw them, so I think everyone must have seen them. And they sent them out sort of as a warning, like, look, you people, kids especially, this is what happens when you start speeding.
Used it as a tool, and the family's right, like, hey, how about fewer pictures of our daughter decapitated?
They did not have the family's permission, and so the family's suing. And I said, I will never get those images out of my mind. Those are pictures that I, to this day, I'll always be able to bring that up, and it's the most horrific thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. That's not something you want to see.
No. God, no.
And it's so interesting that's the example that brought it up, and how we got on this topic of things that you see that you can never unsee, that you can never forget, is because the one, you know how little I remember from my childhood. I mean, my mind was erased a long time ago of everything that happened before I was like 20. But the one image that I do have as a little kid living in the Philippines was being in the car with my family and coming across an accident scene where a Jeep had been involved in an accident and someone had been decapitated in it, and the dude's head was laying in the middle of the road.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I saw a decapitation in person. I would enjoy it very much if I came across something like that today, but back then I'm a little kid. I was scarred. I mean, scarred for life. I still dream about that. I still think about that at random times. It's just an image that's just stuck in my brain, and I can forget everything else. I don't remember a single Christmas as a child, yet I remember that dude's head laying in the middle of the road in the Philippines.
All I have is a picture of 9-year-old, 6'3" DJ Spina Bifida Bean in the Philippines, towering over those people.
Well,
I
was a little kid. I was like 7
right,
or something
but
when
you
this
were
happened.
Way taller than everyone in the Philippines at that point.
And hunched over.
Yeah.
But you don't want to remember that for your whole life. You have no choice. It is so deeply imprinted onto your brain.
We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. It was weird, though, because most of the call-in topics that we come up with, all of us don't have a story.
Yeah.
Usually it's one or two of us. I went to a grand opening of a workout facility, one of those new gyms.
Mm-hmm.
And they had balloons, and it was a big grand opening, and they had...
Was the original Batmobile there, and they had free hot dogs for the kids?
Yeah, it was that type of thing, yeah. And they had some people parachute in.
Yeah.
And a dude's parachute didn't open.
Oh, my God.
No way.
I was 8, maybe. And he hit the ground.
Oh.
And then the news was
out. You were right there?
Yep, I saw it. So every time it comes up, you know, people go, I'm going to go parachute. Oh, super safe. I go, no, sorry. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've never gone back to do that because I have seen it.
No!
she said that. Yeah.
That was the landing.
He's dead. You know, 8-year-old Kevin was behind the news team too when they were filming, like doing jumping jacks and making funny faces.
He was horrified and clowning.
Hey, I'm on the news. Look, they're covering the thing with the. But I'll never forget that. Psycho Mike, you have one?
It's a lot. Pretty similar to Lisa's story. I was in high school, and the chick that got her license before all of us, this kind of hot fire crotch named Jackie Bandera, she had a old 280Z, which was like a hatchback. So if you wanted to ride in it, you had to ride facing backwards, like lying in the hatchback.
Right.
And I was in the back of that hatchback, and I saw out of the blue a car just for no reason drive full speed into the side of a building.
What? Oh.
Yeah, and I screamed, stop. And they opened the car. I ran over there. It was a senior citizen who confused the gas pedal for the brake.
Good
riddance.
Yeah, I mean, she just drove full speed into a building. I watched this car smash into it. So as I run up there, I get to the driver's side window, and it is a nice old lady, but from her forehead to her chin is just smashed in.
All right.
It's just blood and like a mess.
Dear
God. And I had
of those details.
I had to like pull her out. I mean, and the worst part about it is the reason.
Was she not dead?
No, the reason why it was so disturbing to me is because she was awake and conscious.
Oh.
And she's trying to talk, and her face is smashed in.
Not so much talking from you, ma'am.
Yeah, and
you don't have a mouth.
I'll never forget that. It was
Did she die?
No. I mean, I called the police and everything. She was fine in the long term, but I mean, it was something I'll never forget. And I don't.
Omar?
Awful.
Hold on a second. Before you get to Omar. And we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You saw something as a kid that you cannot get out of your mind. You'll never forget it. I didn't realize that all of the stories were going to be blood and death and destruction. I mean, I was hoping it would be I walked in on Cindy Crawford in the dressing room. I mean, where's that story?
Well, we didn't have them, but maybe someone does.
Omar has that story. Go ahead, Omar. Give us the sexy.
Yeah, I was a kid, and I was running into my mom's bedroom, and she was in the middle of changing, and I saw her boobs. And I was just like, just so shocked. I didn't like turn around and run away.
I just froze,
and that image would never, you know, leave my memory. Just because
hot?
Boobs are supposed to be good, but these were like evil. You know, it's like you're not supposed to see your mom's boobs. You know, it's just like they're good, but that was so wrong. You know, it was totally bad times.
So
I was like, I don't know what to do.
Did she have a good rack?
It was not bad.
How old were you, Omar? 23, 24?
No, I was about maybe 10 or 11, something like that.
Were they the first boobs you ever saw?
No, I had seen films before then.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Omar.
Wow.
For real.
But I mean, bad times, you know? And I could remember, I could describe her nipples to the
teeth.
No, thank you. No, thank you. Miss Cleo, hi.
Hi. I was 6 years old and walked into my parents getting it on.
Oh!
It was probably, and I can still see it sometimes. Yeah. It's so bizarre. And I can remember, I don't remember a whole, I'm kind of like being in that, I don't remember a whole lot of my childhood.
Because you were touched too?
That image is burned in me. It's awful.
Was your dad packing?
Yeah.
Does your mom have double D's too?
Was he wrecking her? Did you say, Mommy, are you okay? Do you need help? What's he doing?
You know what's weird? I do remember my dad like looking over and be like, what? It was my brother and I. I don't think my brother remembers, but my brother was standing behind me, and we were going into my parents' room like early in the morning.
Situation you have.
Whoa!
Were they doing the
Cleveland steamer?
What happened? Did you just turn and run out, or did they yell, or did they cover themselves
up? They yelled,
or
and my dad, like, God.
Your dad said, hey, get out, I'm doing the
rusty trombone.
No. I kind of just turned around, and they said, get out of here.
Because I'm doing the
hot Carl.
Okay, I hope that wasn't good.
I'm really glad I opened up to this.
All right. Let's take a couple of very quick calls, and then we'll come back with yours at 1-800-520-1067. You saw it as a kid. You've heard a lot of examples. It will never, ever, ever leave your mind. Why don't we start with, let's start with Jake. He's on line 5 calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Jake,
guys,
thanks for hanging on.
What's
going well?
Hey, what's up? So I happened to walk in on my dad changing when I was 6 years old, and I saw the future.
Right.
Was
the future small?
No, the future was actually very bright, and it kind of scarred me for a kid because I was like, I'm 22, and I was like, I'll never be like that.
But I would think when you're 6, whatever dad's packing has to just look enormous, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, I was literally like, there's no way. You know what I mean?
So that was an impossibly high bar that you would never reach. Well, that's a bummer.
Very, very funny. Thank you for the call. Let's try Rick, line four, on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Rick, what'd you see that scarred you for life?
What's going on, guys? So when I was about 8 years old, I used to live in South Central, which is, you know, not the greatest neighborhoods of all.
Understatement.
So, yeah, exactly. I don't know. I forgot what I was doing.
All right, what did you see?
I remember there was a girl. She was a 16-year-old girl. She was messing around with all the gangsters and stuff, and she got shot in the forehead, right? And you know, she was out. Like, you know, it was from a distance. You know, you just saw the blood splatter. She fell back, and then
actually saw her get shot.
Oh yeah, and then the paramedics showed up. Everybody showed up, and they laid the blanket over her. Like, I don't know. I want to say an hour and a half. You know, or 2 hours into it, she sits up.
And,
yeah, exactly.
Is this a dream?
Her mother fainted. You know, she was out cold, and the girl lived.
What?
How about that? Shot in the forehead and survived. Wow.
Exactly. And Jen, you know, I want to say like 6 months later, she was back on the street.
Wow.
You
know,
I bet
all the rival gangs.
I bet you don't forget if you see somebody get shot in the head right in front of you. I bet that is a memory that sticks with you.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah.
But at least she was alive to go on and do the
donkey punch.
All right. I don't think that's true. Okay. All right. Good call. Thank you so much. We'll take a break and leave it there for right now. But we do want to hear from you, good or bad. How about some good stories? Could we get some more good stories, by the way? 1-800-520-1067. We'll return after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Screaming. Porpoise.
I'm cursing Lisa May right now for the suggestion of images you got in your mind as a kid and can never forget, because this has turned into a very disturbing and very ugly topic.
Yeah, a lot of it turns out as decapitation, and we were not necessarily expecting that.
Well, how many happy images do you think are burned into people's brains?
I hoped one. Have we had a single one yet where somebody went, oh, I'm so glad I saw that. I'm so glad that's burned in and I'll never forget it.
I can't believe I just saw a supermodel naked, that kind of thing.
Not so far.
Let's try Shannon on line two. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. I think Shannon may be the one that turns this conversation around. Hi, Shannon. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello.
Hi.
What did you see?
Well, when I was about 9 or 10, we were driving up the 15 on the way to Vegas, and our car had broke down, so we were driving by about 3 or 4 miles an hour.
Right.
And I saw a man on his hands and knees taking a poop on the side of the road.
Okay. All right.
All right. Now that's better, right? It's not a decapitation.
Right. But on his hands and knees.
That'd be funny.
Yeah. He was so passed out. And
he was
like praying, it looked like.
Was he coming back from Vegas?
No, I don't know.
He was on his way
to the restaurant to wait for the tow truck. His family was in there, and his stepson was like, oh, my daddy's drunk again, and he's out there. And
good
on
times.
On the side of the road. Oh, yeah.
That's
forget it.
And don't you wish there was a way to just cleanse that? Don't you wish you could take a pill of memory be gone and never think of that again?
Oh, yeah, especially when I have my sister saying, hey, have you seen Brownie lately?
Hey, see what Brown can do for you.
All right.
That's one I wouldn't want to erase. I find that funny.
Thank you for the call. All right. So no on turning the topic around. I think I feel good about Zach, though. Zach is on line five, and I think he's going to make us happy with his story. Hi, Zach. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Okay. Good. What'd you see?
I was 12 years old, and I walked in on my father having sex with another man, and to this day, my parents are still married with no divorce in between, no problems that I know about.
Wait a minute.
Did your mom know about it?
I would assume my mom does not know about this.
And you never said anything?
I never got the courage to tell my mom that my father is sleeping with another man.
Oh, Mike.
Would you like us to make a phone call?
No, I would not.
It's a service we provide. Just saying, we'll break the news.
So, did you talk to your dad about it?
No, I did not.
Does he know that you saw it?
He does not know I saw it.
Wow.
I know he doesn't know I saw it. He never talked to me about it, and I never talked to him.
How old were you?
I was 12 years old.
All right, so you knew what sex was. So you knew what was happening. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, here's what you need to do, man. Put that in your back pocket and save it for an especially boring Thanksgiving dinner, and then pull it out and go, guys, there's something I've been wanting to ask you about. Mom, did you ever know that Dad was boffing that dude? And boom, now you got yourself a holiday.
Yeah.
That's good advice. Yeah, save that for the call. The right time, Zach.
Or blackmail, really.
Yeah. Wendy emails, in high school, a guy was jumping down the stairs in an apartment building. I was watching as he skipped 2-3 steps at a time. Well, he missed a step and impaled his head on a decorative wrought iron. Yep, he was dead instantly.
Oh, man.
So apparently, like, right on the fence. You see something like that, you don't easily forget that image,
I guess. All right, do we go to Vince? That's my question. Line two.
Do we buy it?
I buy it.
All right.
All right, let's try Vince.
Hey, Vince.
Good morning.
You were 9 years old.
Yes, sir. Hey. I was in Mexico, got about to do my first communion. And in over there, you got to have to go through some classes. And when I went to go visit the priest, instead of knocking on the door, I just walked right in. And I know I'm going to go there, but he was giving another man oral.
Oh, wow.
The priest was.
It messed me up so bad. I didn't even go to the first communion. I stopped going through the Catholic.
Yeah, I can see how that would turn you against Catholicism, even though that's not representative of everybody. I can see if you're nine. How old are you, nine?
Nine.
Walked in on the priest. He'd probably been moved someplace from the United States.
Yeah.
That's how it usually works. He's done that in five other cities, so they moved him to Mexico.
No, it burned me. I mean, I didn't tell anybody. I haven't told my mom anything, and they always been asking me how come I never went through it.
Do you want us to call your parents?
Oh, no.
Come on.
I don't think my mom could understand for that. No.
But don't you think it would make you feel better? You got to unload that really. Kind of. That's too much to carry.
Yeah.
And he can't go to confession either because he's no longer Catholic.
Oh, I'm confessing to y'all now.
All right. Yeah. All right. Can we confess to your parents?
No.
All right.
Thank you for the call.
Worth a try. Thank you.
All right. Matt is the answer. Matt's the call we've been waiting for so that we can put this topic behind us and leave with a smile on our face.
All right. Matt, hi.
Okay. I got a smile for you. I was 16. I was traveling up the California coast with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And him and his girlfriend, who he's been online dating for 2 years, they were having sexy time in the back seat while I was driving the entire time.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Now, finally. Yeah. Something sexy. So you were driving and you were moving the rearview mirror so you could see better?
No.
It's his brother.
Oh,
but
oh
you're... Whoa, with the language there.
All right, she's ugly. Okay, take it easy. All right.
By the way, when you're 16, you'll look at an ugly girl have sex, though, won't
That's
you?
What I was thinking, but it was his brother,
well,
too.
Well, apparently she slept with her eyes open, and so my brother had his way with her.
Yeah.
And then she woke up halfway through.
Okay. All right. Not a sexy call. All
right. Okay. Well, that went from sexy to rape in about 1 second.
Did he at least yell surprise?
That's not what we were looking for. So we've been talking a lot about Jersey Shore because it is quite a show. It's bad, but so bad that we find it fascinating.
Yeah.
And the stories were about them renegotiating for the next season. They were all $5,000 an episode, not enough. We're going to all hang together. MTV said $10,000. They said no thanks. Then they finally ended up keeping it.
Because MTV was going to boot them, I think.
Right. So they said, okay, we'll take the money. And the situation apparently was making claims that he was the king of reality TV. And that prompted a phone call this morning on Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew.
Well, with the situation claiming to be the new king of reality TV, I'm actually kind of surprised Spencer hasn't called in for rebuttal to defend his throne.
Oh, who is the king of reality TV?
Mm-hmm. I know, so I was just kind of surprised he hasn't called in to your show.
We'll try and make that happen.
Listen up, everyone!
You instant
make a request.
Instant request! Kevin and Bean's
instant request.
All right, believe it or not, it looks like Spencer has joined us in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi,
right,
Spence. How are you?
How you doing, Chief? I'm so sick, you could call me the flu.
Oh, man.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, but we do have the Situation himself on the phone with us right now. Hi, Situation.
Hey, you guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Yeah, it's great to talk to
you. Are you in a nightclub right now?
No, I'm just in my house. Fist pumping.
Okay.
Fist pumping. That's right. You got a situation there.
Yeah, right. Situation, do you know Spencer Pratt from the Hills? We've got him here with us in the room.
Oh, hey, Hasbin. How are you been doing? How's it going, Hasbin?
Listen, wow. Don't you talk to me like that. I paved the way for you. I know you think you're so hot because your show's trendy
right now.
That's right.
You paved the road. Now I'm driving my Lamborghini all on top of it. That's what I'm doing. I'm the Situation.
I invented the Lamborghini.
No, you didn't invent the Lamborghini. An Italian invented the Lamborghini, and you're no Italian. You're no Guido.
I founded Amco.
You didn't find Amco.
Yeah.
That was an Italian guy founded that, and you're no Guido.
I'm Aquaman.
Aquaman was an Italian guy, and you're not the
Listen, the Italians didn't create everything either.
Yeah, they did. They All pretty right. much invented everything.
You, right. What? No,
they're legendary. Italians are legendary.
I was the first,
everyone knows the legendary.
I was the first man to use a leaf blower.
No, you weren't. The Italian guy did that.
Wow.
He was the first guy.
I was on the
guy.
Hindenburg. I was on the Hindenburg.
You weren't. That was named after Antonio Lindenberg, who guy created as an Italian guy.
Okay. Let me interrupt both of you guys and just address the topic that's in the news right now, which is the situation claims that he's the king of reality TV because his program, Jersey Shore, is way more popular than your program, Spencer the Hills, on MTV. Yeah, what do you have to say about that?
I've done other things. I've gone on to be a full multimedia mogul.
With what?
Okay?
Where? How?
You know, I'm like a crying Indian because I make it rain that much.
But how were you successful? Heidi's album that didn't sell?
I am Aladdin.
What? You're not Aladdin.
Who's Aladdin?
The guy who had the magic lamp?
Yeah.
He was an Italian guy.
Italian guy.
Yeah. So look, this kid's just upset because I committed the robbery. Because I came in and he was on MTV, he was doing a show, then I committed the robbery. I come in and I take the show and now I'm number one. And now he's all upset about that.
No, he's upset.
And I feel bad because his girlfriend now has had so much plastic surgery, she's a grenade launcher now, that I wouldn't fall on that grenade with Paulie D next to me. I wouldn't
do
that.
Wow. You listen
and
here.
And he's been banned. He's upset because he's banned from Chicklin Cutlet Night, from Surf and Turf Night, from Noodle Night. He's been banned.
You banned him from Noodle Night?
Yeah. That's right. He's been banned from that.
Wow. I ban you from Les Deux. I ban you from Teddy's. I ban you from Crest. I ban you from every nightclub here in Los Angeles because I'm the Giggity King.
You're not the king anymore. That's what I'm saying. It's a situation now.
Situation.
Because you're not doing enough GTL. You're not doing enough gym tanning laundry.
I'm a zucchini farmer.
No, zucchini really was invented by an Italian dude.
Hey, situation, while we got you on the phone, is it true that you're coming up with your own fragrance
That's
called
right.
Sitch?
The Sitch.
Really?
Sitch. My new cologne, Sitch, will be in stores soon.
I bet you it smells like poor guy. Ha, ha, because I'm rich. I got a Prada hoodie on. What do you think about that, Sitch?
I'm committing a robbery. I can't believe it. I'm so committing a robbery right now.
Well, I'm glad you guys had a chance to work this out. I got to be honest. I think the situation has presented a pretty convincing case. He's got it going on right now, Spencer.
What?
I think you may be on the way out.
Time out,
We're
Captain.
Signing with the Sitch.
Sorry about that,
Linda.
Spencer.
Linda.
Yeah.
I have Louis Vuitton shoes.
No one cares about that, though.
I think I got to go with the Sitch.
All right, Sitch. You're the king.
Hey, the situation's legendary. What can I say?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:53.
Ozzy Osbourne in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us now for the Showbiz Beat, and a little something extra for the listeners, I understand.
Wolfman.
Wolf.
Wolfman.
Wolfman.
Can't wait.
I can't wait to see the Wolfman. If you're like Dave King in Mexico, and you can't wait to see the Wolfman with Benicio del Toro. Or Benicio Del Toro, if you're Dave. Pair of passes to the advanced screening of The Wolfman. February the 11th will be the date, Thursday, at the Grove here in Los Angeles. The movie hits theaters the next day on the 12th, but you'll see it before anybody else. If you're one of the lucky callers, first five callers right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Call now to get your Wolfman tickets for the advanced screening.
Wolf.
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 Wolf. That's how Dave says it.
You guys catch Greg Grunberg last night on Lost?
Yes.
No.
Awesome.
No.
Awesome.
I didn't see him.
Remember how he said he was coming back?
Yeah.
We all poo-pooed him?
Right.
Well, when Jack was on the plane, when they were disembarking,
yes.
Thanks for flying Oceanic Airlines, everybody, blah, 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 blah. It was Greg Grunberg was the voice of the pilot because he, of course, was the pilot of the plane.
But they didn't show him.
No, you just heard his voice.
I gotcha.
But they snuck him in there, which I thought was kind of cool.
I gotcha.
Which brings me to this email real quick from listener Ryan. Ralph, I can't listen to your show anymore because I am only on season 3 of Lost. I know I'm slightly behind, but you keep talking about all this stuff that happens and I have no clue. I'm upset that you had Ben on because I don't know who the hell Ben is.
He wasn't at season 3 yet?
Look, that is not our problem.
And please stop talking about this bomb. I know the whole staff, the Kevin and Bean Show, would do anything to please just one fan, so I'm asking you, stop talking about Lost. Thank you in advance for your cordial cooperation, Ryan Blake. So just Ryan's only in season 3, so we really can't talk about Lost anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we can talk about the plane going down.
We can talk about season 1.
That's it.
Oh, I'm scared what they're going to find on the other side of that island. Maybe a polar bear.
Odd.
Yeah, but that was funny. I'm getting a lot of hate mail because we're talking about Lost. But here's my thing. That was an event last night, that show coming back. That was like you had a year's worth of planning you could do to free yourself up last night to watch that show. It'd be like us talking about the Oscars the next day and people being complaining about that because they had T-vote them and they wanted to watch them. You can't just, you know, can be spoiler nervous about every situation.
Right, but we didn't give away anything that was super important.
No.
Right?
Right. We didn't say
that. We can now.
We didn't say Locke's the smoke monster. We didn't say that.
No, that's stupid.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Stop it with the angry emails.
Sometimes people do have busy nights and they want to watch, but they're unable to. But that's on them.
Right.
Look, I know that I didn't see it. I know that there's a chance it'll be spoiled for me at some point today, but that's the risk I
guarantee we'll spoil it for you.
we're making a point of it.
Just because it's fun.
Fox is talking about the Avatar sequel. Rupert Murdoch was talking to shareholders. He, of course, is the chairman of News Corp, which is the parent organization for 20th Century Fox, and saying they are very eager to get a sequel to Avatar in the works as soon as possible.
This is Avatar.
I hope they call it Avablah.
Me too.
I hope it takes 10 years again.
Murdoch also said, we certainly plan to release the DVD as soon as possible. And he said that there will be no 3D effects on the initial version of the DVD release. See how they're going to get your money? Catch the word initial in that sentence?
Yeah.
Avatar, they're going to release on DVD. And then they'll come out with the super, super duper edition 3D DVD edition. And then it'll be the ultra special super golden ticket director's cut 4D travel back in time edition. And then you'll have to buy like five different copies of Avatar by the time they're all
done. Think it's worth having both, but you could certainly put both on one DVD. You could put the 3D one on as well.
They don't like that. There's no money in that.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't see the Avablah, but does it set itself up for a sequel? It's kind of movie that sequel makes sense.
You got a whole world there to choose from. You could invent new characters. You can go in another direction. You could stay with the Sam Worthington character. There's a bunch of stuff you could do with that. It could be a Star Wars-esque sort of multi-generational, wide-open world, I think. You know, you could do what Lucas did, create a whole new universe of characters and situations if they wanted to.
The situation? You think with the economy the way it is, they're calling Cameron and they're going, dude, seriously, sequel.
Hey, what are you doing sitting there? You don't sound like you're working on anything.
How about another one? We need it right now.
And speaking of sequels and prequels and reboots, Matt Damon says he is working on the fourth Jason Bourne movie.
Love every one of those. All three of those were good.
Great. And he's great. I'm looking forward to the fourth. But he tells British film magazine Empire that Universal is currently working on a prequel reboot of the Bourne franchise. While he's making this movie, they've already got an early film in the works, which will be Jason Bourne before he loses his memory when he's still an agent. And they're casting a younger, different actor to play Jason in that series of films.
What?
So they're talking about reboot before they're even making the current film, before that's even finished. They're already rebooting the franchise.
Why? It wasn't that long ago. How long ago was the first one? Ten years ago? Eight? Huh.
So you'll be getting two Bournes for your buck.
Do those young Indiana Jones types ideas, do they ever work out, Ralph?
No.
Do they ever go back and here's the character as a kid?
Not to my knowledge.
Or as a young person? Yeah.
Not to my knowledge. Although, Star Trek picked up with a young Kirk, and that certainly
worked. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. The Bourne story is interesting because it's about a spy who has lost his memory and doesn't know who he is.
Right.
That's the thrust of the whole Bourne mythology.
And in three, he pretty much figures everything out.
Right. So if you go back to when he was just a guy working for the government, then it's just like your average spy movie. There's no real hook there. It's nothing that interesting, I don't think, about
Jason
Bourne.
But having Michael Cera play Jason Bourne, though, is going to be awesome.
Oh, it'll be awesome. Today's celebrity birthday is Sean Kingston is 28 years old today. Actress Isla Fisher from Wedding Crashers.
Isn't she married to Bruno?
She is.
She is, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's also Amy Adams. I don't know if you knew that or not. She's
same person?
Yes.
I can't tell them apart.
She's got two careers going right now. Most actresses just have one. She's 34 years old. Actress Maura Tierney is 45. Thomas Calabro from Melrose Place. Dr. Michael Mancini, 51 years old today. Nathan Lane, very talented Broadway and film actor, is 54. Morgan Fairchild celebrates her 60th birthday. I got to tell you, Morgan Fairchild for 60, ultimately doable. Ultimately doable.
I've seen a picture of her in 20 years.
She did the Old Navy commercial, I guess, most recently.
Yeah.
We'll find you a picture, Kevin.
I don't need one.
And you will say, boing.
I don't need one. I'm fine.
An actress, Blythe Danner, who is also the mom of Gwyneth Paltrow, and is much more interesting. the Paltrow gong. She is 67 years old.
That's a good Ben name.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Oh, thank you, Ozzy. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It haunts me, all this crazy stuff. Every day of my life has been an event. I took lethal combinations of booze and drugs for 30 effing years. I survived a direct hit by a plane, suicidal overdoses, STDs. I've been accused of attempted murder. Then I almost died while riding over a bump on a quad bike at effing 2 miles an hour. People ask me how come I'm still alive. I don't know what to say. But he is making a great effort to explain it in his new book called I Am Ozzy, in stores now. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the all-time favorite guests of the Kevin and Bean Show, please welcome back our friend Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy, how are you? How are you, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I know you're very busy as a best-selling author. The book is great. I can't believe that you remembered enough stuff to put in a book.
Neither can I.
You do start out at the beginning by saying that your mind is jelly and you pretty much have to rely on other people's memories for a lot of it.
Well, you know, it's going to be bound to be other people that read the book who were there at these occasions. It's only my recollection of whatever I can recollect. But it was fun to do, actually. It was a lot of fun. I kind of shied away from it for such a long time. And my wife said, you know, the publisher keeps on the phone. Because my wife had a book. My kids had a book.
Right.
And I said, when are we going to get the man in for, you know, to do a book? And so they kept going on and on. And I thought, last year was like a down year for me. In other words, I wasn't touring so much.
Right.
And it was a time was right, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I just want people to have a humorous side. It's not all serious about how I dodge bullets and all this stuff.
Well, there is a lot of detail about, like, when you were a kid, you went to jail for robbery, but it was kind of lame. Like, those kind of stories kill me because, you know, you don't think of somebody like you as a kid and what kind of trouble you were getting into.
I'm sure there's kids doing exactly the same.
Of course.
As I did when I was younger. I mean, but that was the only way to go, you know. I mean, life had not much future for a person like me in the back streets of Birmingham. And then when the Beatles happened, it saved me, you know. Music saved my life.
Music and Sharon are the twin...
absolutely.
The twin events in your life that enabled you to be alive and talking to us today. But Kevin is right. It's so fascinating that we don't think about what Ozzy Osbourne was like at age 5 or age 10 or age 15. And there were millions of kids living in the exact same circumstances. But somehow you managed to get out and turn yourself into something. And, I mean, that's one thing you can always be proud of.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I never go, oh, look, I wonder where I could have been. You know, people, I get asked that question all the time. If it wasn't for the music, where do you think you'd be? I know, it's an impossible question for me to answer because I did find music and it kind of found me, you know, and it took me off on a fantasy that I'm still going on now, you know. I mean,
I think it was funny how you started out in music, you didn't know where to go, and then you decided, you know what, let's make it scary. Let's make scary music.
Yeah, well, that wasn't me. That was Tony Iommi called me that idea, I think.
But, I mean, I thought it was funny that was the angle that you just kind of all decided to go in.
We used to rehearse across the road from a movie theater, and Tony said one day, isn't it strange how people like to go to movies, see the movies, and get scared? Why don't we start writing scary music? And it kind of came naturally, you know. I mean, Tony Iommi is one of the founder fathers of heavy riffs. There's nobody to touch him as far as riffs go. I mean, he was a good driving force. I honestly believe that he deserves to be up there with the Jimmy Pages, and you know, it probably is, you know. But he's made his mark, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and you have as well. I mean, your band Black Sabbath, you know, is credited with inventing heavy metal. Now, if that's an overstatement, it's not much of one, because you guys were certainly there at the beginning, and there were 1,000 bands that came after you who wanted to do exactly what you do. I mean, you know that your place in rock history is assured thanks to that.
Well, it's not just me. I mean, I didn't do it on my own. I was just a singer for them, you know. I mean, Tony Iommi's the actual riff man. I mean, Black Sabbath was my escape route from you know, the drudgery, you know.
Right. We are talking to the great Ozzy Osbourne. By the way, the book is out now, just released, called I Am Ozzy. You can meet Mr. Osbourne tonight at the Barnes & Noble store in Huntington Beach on Edinger Avenue. If you're lucky enough to be listening to this in Southern California, he'll be signing copies of the book starting at 7 o'clock. Ozzy, I knew from following your career for as long as I have that you've had a lot of problems with drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
I didn't have any idea how bad it was and how much you could consume in one day for years and years and years of your life. It's crazy that you're still alive.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I said to my kids, and I'm saying to people who are listening to the show, don't think that you've got some thing that you can beat it like I. I mean, I was just lucky. I mean, I overdosed it all the time, you know. I mean, I'm not proud of it. I mean, it's a fact, you know. I mean, that's what you do anyway. You get loaded, you know, I suppose.
Yeah, but I mean, but most people don't end up in so many comas like you did.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was dirty. I mean,
every time that happened, you were this close to death.
I know.
Oh, well.
I mean, in the real world, it happens all the time. People go out, get loaded, and, you know. So, especially from on medication from the doctor, you know.
Yeah, you've put in a full life of drugs, though. Honestly,
yeah.
You've done your share.
Do you ever miss it, Ozzy? Do you ever? I mean, I know that you're in recovery, and every day is one day at a time. But do you ever really miss those days of getting
really.
blotted?
I mean, I like being clean now, you know. I mean, but if I don't, I know exactly what to do, you know. Like many in practice.
Right.
I mean, the availability now, and he's ridiculous, and it's not as expensive, so I hear now. We used to do loads of that stuff, you know.
Oh, there was a chapter where you were talking about...
When we discovered cocaine, it was like the holy grail, as we thought, but it ended up being... Highway to hell, you know.
Yeah, and in the book you talk about, you don't even know where all the cocaine was coming. There was just people bringing in boxes of it.
Yeah.
good times. Ozzy, there are a lot of blackouts in the book, which must have been very difficult for you to write about because clearly you didn't know what happened. I mean, the most troubling one, obviously, is you wake up in jail and you realize that you're getting charged with attempted murder of your wife, Sharon. Was that the lowest point of your entire life?
Yeah, but that still didn't stop me doing it. So I could, you know, as they say on these programs, you know, you can't do it for anybody else. But yourself, I mean, I got sick and tired of me being loaded, you know. I mean, when I went to the Betty Ford Center, they told me about black. I didn't believe it for the longest. I thought it was just a scare tactic.
Well, you didn't believe that it was true. What happened to the phone? Are you
did you turn the phone around backwards, Ozzy?
No.
There you are.
There you okay. go. Now we're back.
All right.
Yeah, you're talking about how Sharon kind of tricked you into going to the Betty Ford Center.
Yeah,
you thought it was a resort.
She's telling me I found this place called Betty Ford Center where they teach you to drink like properly. And I'm thinking, maybe that's what my problem is. I'm not drinking it right.
Properly, right. You got to learn how to drink right.
I mean, it could be the fact that I'm trying to drown myself with the stuff, you know.
Ozzy, you sound so healthy and so happy now. It's a miracle.
It certainly is. The first thing I quit was cigarettes. And I mean, I've been in rehabs with the hardcore heroin users. You know, I could give the heroin up, but I can't do these cigarettes. I don't know what was wrong. That was a miracle. I couldn't stop smoking and being a singer. It's not a very good idea to be a
right.
smoker, is it?
Well, it certainly does ruin your voice over time.
Are you happy with where your career is now? Are you doing exactly what you want to do? And the reason I ask that is because I saw in the book how unhappy you were with how popular you became after the MTV show hit big, and it sounded like that was too much fame.
With TV, people, I mean, you know, one of the things discovered I found out about doing TV, it's the most powerful media thing in the world, and people stop you and say the darndest of things, you know, and do you have to speak to your wife like that, and you're at a show, and then other people say, you're just like my husband, and I go, well, I'm just the way I am, it's not them trying to be like anybody, you know.
Is that the response you get the most from that show, is how you treat people?
No, it's people would stop me, and they didn't have a clue that I was into rock and roll. Rock and roll was my first love. To be honest with you, I don't really like doing TV much.
Yeah, well, I can see that.
What do you want to do in the future, Ozzy? What would you like to see the next chapter of Ozzy Osbourne be?
You know, my music is my main thing. I mean, now what I am doing this summer, I'm putting a new album. I'm nearly finished a new album. I haven't got a title yet. I was going to call it Soul Sucker, but my webpage went insane going, you can't call your album Soul Sucker. I'm not going to walk around in a concert with a T-shirt saying Soul Sucker. Apparently, it's some hip-hop slang, Soul Sucker or Sucker or whatever.
So you're going to have to come up with another
title. My fans soon tell me, you know. So I'm not going to call it that anymore, I don't think.
When are we looking at that? Are we looking at that spring, summer, fall?
July.
July, okay.
Now I'm coming out July. I've got... I'm doing the Ozfest starting in July. I don't know. It's going to be a. I'm going to be out there for a long while.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, we're certainly happy about that. And of course, you've been very good to the Kevin and Bean Show on our station over the years, Ozzy. I mean, you are, like I said when I brought you on, one of our all-time favorite guests. We admire you so much, and you and your wife are just great people. And we wish nothing but the best for you. And I'm so happy that this book came out and is getting such wonderful reviews. You should be very, very proud, my friend.
Thank you.
Is this volume one? And are you going to update it when people respond and go, wait a minute, that is not what I remember?
Well, it's their opinion. It's, you know, two people come to the same event the same, you know. It's similar, you know. But, I mean, I just did what I could do, you know.
I got you.
I didn't try and embellish on it. I just tried as I remembered it, you know.
So Come on. It's a miracle he remembers anything, Kevin. give him a break.
So tonight, Wednesday, you can meet Ozzy in person if you're in Southern California. Barnes & Noble, 7881 Edinger Avenue in Huntington Beach. 7 o'clock, he's going to be there signing his book and saying hi to fans. All right, Ozzy, thanks very much for being on the show. We love it.
Thank you. God bless.
Thank you, man.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday, by the way. Getting a ton of emails congratulating Ralph on his impression of Ozzy Osbourne. Here's one from Christian. Oh, my God. Ralph's impression of Ozzy is spot on. I was only disappointed that he didn't yell, Sharon, this time. Then there were a couple of others who were complaining that it wasn't as funny as he usually is.
Okay, but, so most of the time, that's Ralph doing an impression. That was actually Ozzy.
That was actually the real Ozzy. Right.
I'm not sure. I think he stuck the phone up his ass right in the middle of it.
I don't know what happened either. Grandpa's funny. Anyway, love the Ozzy, and the book is a great read. We definitely recommend it. Right now, though, we turn our attention to last night's American Idol. It might be the last of the bad singers, Kevin. They were in Denver, Colorado. They seem to have cobbled together another show for tonight. They don't start Hollywood Week until next week, but they didn't exactly make it clear last night in the previews what it's going to be. If it's going to be good singers, bad singers, a combination of both. I don't know what they're doing tonight. But last night was the last of the bad singers, and just like every other episode this season so far, you got a guy on the show who will not leave. They've had to call security more on this season of American Idol than ever before.
Do you think these people delude themselves into, if they don't leave, maybe the judges will think they're serious and let them through? I mean, do they really think that?
I think that there's some of it is that, and some of it is just that they cannot believe that they are not being asked to be put through because they know how good they are. And that was certainly the case with Kenny.
I am the world's best singer. For those of you that don't know me, I consider myself the male Mary J. Blige. I sing in the park around my way. Everybody knows Kenny. My singing is sort of a public service to others because it brings the community together. I'm so ready to do this. That's why I can't stay still, you know. I'm so happy. I'm ready to be the next American Idol.
Now, a guy like Kenny comes in, obviously with all that experience and so much love from the neighborhood, clearly he's going to bring it, right?
Of course.
I mean, a guy like that, you don't think that about yourself unless you've really got the talent to back it up.
Call the radio if you just can't be without me, baby.
Okay, it went on for about another 30 seconds after that. I'm going to spare you, but let's see what the judge's reaction is to Kenny.
It wasn't singing. It was literally screaming at us.
Well, maybe I should sing something for you.
Only one song today, Kenny. Randy, yes or no?
Terrible no, man. It wasn't good, though.
Tara?
Yeah, I'm sorry to say no, Kenny.
Victoria?
I'm going to have to say no. I'm sorry.
It's a no, Kenny.
You got to be kidding me.
Okay, I love that, by the way.
You got to be kidding me.
You got to be kidding me. He can't get his head around. He knows he's the next American Idol.
You got to be kidding me. I'm a great singer.
No, you're not. Kenny, you're not, and you never will be, honestly.
Well, no more drama. No more. No more. Hey, 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 hey,
Kenny.
No more.
Kenny.
No more.
Kenny.
No more.
Kenny.
Babe.
Kenny.
It's getting louder.
It's getting worse.
Go ahead, hey. Go ahead.
Kenny, you've got to leave.
All right, so eventually they escort him out, and, you know, he's shocked that the judges did not see his talent, and this is what he tells the camera right before he leaves.
How can four people tell you that you can't sing and you know you're a good singer? Something has to be up with that.
So it sounds like the mayor keeping you down.
There is
what it
something
sounds like
up with that. It's that you don't know that you're bad. But you know what? That guy, you could see how he would think he sounds good. Because at least he's got a...
He can carry a tune, I think.
I mean, not accurately.
You can hear him on a street corner and
but
go,
I could see that
okay.
He believes that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where some of them, I don't even think they believe it.
But it's so fascinating to me that they're going in to get an opinion from professionals.
Right.
And when all four of them say you're terrible, you have to start, I would think, you would start rethinking your position on how good you are.
Dude, the bums in the park told him he was good.
Yeah.
Well, there is that, too. Of course, you know, like with every city, thousands of people show up. Not all of them are going to be good.
You just killed every cat in Denver.
Was that in tune?
Freedom!
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 Oh, yeah!
Freedom! Woo-hoo. Yeah, a little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me.
What about Vegas, right?
As a holiday, yeah.
Gonna ring once, sing up the phone to let me know you made it home.
Yeah, so none of those people necessarily are going through. By the way, Victoria Beckham, Posh Spice, the judge again last night. Man, is she hot. Yeah. Wow, is she good looking.
Turns out she's cute.
My God.
Too skinny, though.
All right.
Yeah.
Definitely too skinny. No question about that. Here's young Mario. He's going to be doing some Elvis Presley today. Now, Mario has a little bit of a nervous tic. We've seen that a lot on this show. We had the one guy with Tourette's, of course, and he had a thing going on. Mario's right. thing is he laughs all the time.
Oh.
And boy, that gets annoying fast.
The one threw a party in the county jail. The prison band was there and they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. It should have hurled a knockdown jailbird sing, let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody in the whole cell block was dancing to the jailhouse rock.
Okay, what's the closest you've got to getting a break?
2 years ago, for a Broadway review here, I got the role of Jekyll and Hyde.
And did that show actually open?
That's a good thing.
No.
Life goes on, and there's always next year, so never give up.
Wow.
Yeah, he's enjoying life more than he should with his abilities. And finally, Ralph made reference earlier to Bikini Boy. Now, Bikini Girl was very popular on the show a few seasons ago. She was this pretty cute girl who showed up in a bikini, and all the guys, of course, desperately wanted to send her through to Hollywood. The girls hated her.
She was an okay singer, right? That's why it was
just
kinda,
okay. Yeah. Just okay, yeah. But they put her through anyway, and she was really annoying. But she ended up getting breast implants during that season and came back out on stage for the finale that year and made a return appearance.
Oh, who knew?
Well, this guy that Ralph revealed earlier today is working for a Denver radio station, is just a flabby regular guy who shows up in a bikini, tops and bottoms. And this is the shortest audition. He's 2 seconds in when the whole panel just gets up and walks out. It's like actually kind of funny.
Oh, God.
Come on. What's the song? What are you singing?
I'm going to sing Billy Ray Cyrus, Achy Breaky Heart.
Of course, of course. Come on, Bikini Boy.
Here we go. You can tell my arms to go back to the phone.
I'm going back to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So they all get up. They start walking out of the room. He's still standing there.
Bikini Boy.
Don't move your hips like that, honey. It's not a good look.
No?
No.
It's Bikini Boy time.
Want to finish? That's kind of rude. I think you should, like, at least stay. Kara, please stay. Can I get a hug?
They're gone. He's alone.
They're coming back, right?
No, they're not coming back.
It's just a dude being funny, though, right?
Yeah. He's just a dude being funny, but not a good look. Although there were too many close-up shots of him scratching his ass in that bikini. I don't know what that was all about, but I'm writing a strongly worded letter to Fox. So that could be the end of the bad auditions, Kevin.
Which
could
means that's the end of our coverage?
Which means you out as of this point.
Yeah,
the rest of us are strapping in for the rocket ride to the finals this May.
King of Mexico says there's one more tonight, and he thinks it's bad. So we'll check it.
Okay.
If it's not, if they're actually starting to be serious, then we out.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, inviting you to check out kevinandbean.com from time to time. In fact, we update it every single day with new pictures and links and videos and stories. It's really a very, very good website. And you also can find all of our email addresses on there, too, if you ever would like to drop us a note. We always enjoy hearing from you. We get back to as many of you as we can, and we do from time to time like to bring some of our favorites out to read them on the air.
Dear Kevin and Bean, so I moved to the Detroit area a couple of years ago after living in L.A. and listening to your show pretty religiously. Wouldn't you know, there's an alternative rock station with a morning show called Dave and Chuck. They're traffic girl is Lisa Way.
No way.
Way.
Lisa Way.
And they try so hard to be you, too. It's sad. Glad to hear you on the internet. And I forgot who's obsessed with Gordon Lightfoot and the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Please, please don't get that confused. That's Bean.
Yeah.
Please, I beg
and,
of you.
And proud of it, by the way. Yeah, don't get that
my
confused.
Father-in-law,
I don't want Kevin taking that.
My father-in-law wants to sell his painting of Edmund Fitzgerald signed by Gordon Lightfoot.
Sweet.
What?
P.S. Isn't it great the L.A. Kings are in fifth place in the division and Detroit is fighting to make the playoffs in eighth? Yes, it is.
I hope Shaw is listening to the podcast here because I wrote back to her and said, please send photo of Edmund Fitzgerald painting. I would be very much interested in buying that, but I haven't heard anything back from her, so I know what's up. Jessica writes in, Dave, the King of Mexico's refusal to use windshield wipers when it's raining makes me physically angry. Tell me, has his view never been obscured by a waterfall or a fountain? Has he never seen the optical illusion of the view of a pencil placed in a cup of water? The pencil looks broken in half. Has he never seen light shown through a prism? How is it possible to see clearly through water droplets, which according to the laws of nature bend and distort light rays? Given the condition of driving, whereby you must be able to see the exact locations of things around you, including easily obscured people crossing in intersections, why doesn't he feel the need to set his discomfort of the gentle hum of the wipers aside for the safety of us all? Amazing! Just unreal. Otherwise, love you, love the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave's a tard.
Everything you say. Mm-hmm. We were doing a topic, sexual opportunities that you missed, and Toasty Spliff writes,
yeah. I love Toasty.
Really?
There was a call-in topic for your show listening on the podcast. I can't believe I missed it, a once-in-a-lifetime sexual opportunity. Me plus one Latina plus two blondes plus ecstasy equals failure.
Really?
I was chatting up this hottie a couple of years back, mentioned I like to go to raves. Turns out she'd never been to one. She was very interested in going with me. Also, she wanted two of her friends to come along. I was so nervous that night because I knew if I played my cards right, I could totally have a foursome. We were all rolling and hanging out. 3 or 4 a.m. came around, and I effing dropped them all off at their houses. I started dry heaving when I think about my epic failure, and I can't seem to erase that chunk of gayness from my brain. Sigh. Toasty.
No, that's a fail. Morgan writes in, hi, Kevin and Bean. I went to high school in Glendale.
Glendale!
And on the swim team during the season, some of the neighborhood girls would not shave their legs. Standing next, and we were talking about hairy legs with Monique at the Golden Globes, you remember? Standing next to some of these girls made me look and feel like a prepubescent boy. They looked like Chewbacca in a swimsuit. Also, I remember my buddy's housekeeper had hairier legs than me and my buddies until we were in about 10th grade. Listen, shave your legs, you nappy-legged hose.
Oh, no.
Says Morgan.
Glendale!
Victor writes, I'm freaking out. I can't find the answer to this question anywhere. Hopefully, you guys can help me. Is Coachella going to sell single tickets this year? I can't seem to find anywhere where to purchase them except for the 3-day passes. Vic, we have an answer for you. And that is that the people that are running Coachella changed their minds this year and will not be selling 1-day tickets.
We were as surprised as anyone.
We were more surprised than most because we know how it worked in past years. Yeah. They're saying it's not going to happen. You have to buy 3-day passes, and you can't transfer them if you want your friend to go to another day.
Bogus.
So that seems like F you, love Coachella.
Yeah, it does seem like if you just want to go Saturday to see the lineup, you know, the lineup that Muse is headlining, and you have to pay the $300 for all 3 days, that doesn't seem feasible.
And your friend wants to go Friday to see Jay-Z, but you can't let him go? Come on.
Right.
Yeah, what is that about?
Stop that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what they're doing, but we don't approve. Hey, Kevin and Bean, here's a great idea for a phone topic. Now, this is an interesting email from Mikey, because Mikey has heard us in the past say that we have never been able to come up with a phone topic that no one will call in on. A phone topic, no matter how bizarre it is, that somebody hasn't done. Fake your own death is the one that we go back to all the time, that we could, you know, we had tons of calls on that, and that's the type of thing you think you'd be lucky to find one person. Well, Mikey may have the one, Kevin, that we may have to try to see if see what the deal is. I'd like you to ask your listeners if there are any fans of the WNBA out there. I know you guys have asked some pretty crazy things in the past, but I think this might finally be the one that stumps everyone. It truly is the worst thing on TV, maybe even in the world, and I can't figure out why it exists. Clearly, there must be fans out there. Can you find one and talk to him or her, Mikey?
Yeah, him.
How about that?
Are there fans out there?
Yes, lesbians.
But is that it?
Yep.
It's funny because I never even hear mention of it anymore. I used to at least hear a mention of it once in a
while. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't even know if the WNBA is still in existence or when the season is. Is it going on now? Doesn't it usually go on about the same time as the NBA season or no?
I think they stagger it.
Yeah, I think it's off season.
Yeah, so I don't have any idea, but let's keep that in our back pocket one day to do a test on that and see. I'd love to especially find a guy who likes the WNBA.
Sean writes, so I was listening to
Thanks for That Info Bean
this morning, and I realized I work with my very own version of Bean. I don't know for sure if this kid has Asperger's or not, but everything that comes out of his mouth is so uninteresting it makes me queasy. He will just spout out of nowhere about where how he played Xbox all day yesterday. I'm not into Xbox, or how boring his friends are. How's that interesting? I've even resorted to putting on my headphones or listening to K-Rock most of the day and pretty much not responding to what he says, but he doesn't get the message. Sean, I would like to point out that the fact that he doesn't get the message means that, yes, he does have Asperger's, and you are screwed.
I would like to say that Sean maybe ought to start listening to what his friend has to say because it might actually turn out to be interesting and or entertaining.
Or,
how about that?
Or not.
And finally, again, you can go to kevinandbean.com and click on any of our email addresses to send us a note. We do appreciate you listening and for getting in contact with us. This is one that just goes back to a phone topic we did earlier today. We were talking about mental images in your mind, things that you saw when you were young that you will never forget. And we did find out from taking calls today that it is almost never a good thing.
Yeah, it's all bad.
It's you're scarred because you saw a guy get shot in the head in the neighborhood or whatever. Or, you know, it's never I saw a supermodel naked. That's right. Not the one that gets burned. So this is an email from Cindy who says, yeah, this one takes me back, but I'll never forget it. I ditched school one day when I was a kid. I was hanging out at home. My cartoons were interrupted by a car chase. And you guys know how a car chase sucks you in. So I'm watching the chase, and the guy stops on the freeway, and I got really excited thinking they were going to tackle him to the ground or something exciting. Well, right as the camera zoomed into this guy for a better view, Kevin, you know what's coming.
Yep.
He took out a shotgun and shot himself in the head.
Yeah, that happened live on TV.
It was the worst thing ever. I could still remember how fast he dropped to the ground and how quick the news went on to something else, but it was too late. It was burned into my brain forever. I swear God was mad at me for ditching school that day and had this guy kill himself to teach me a lesson. Good times.
He's got the shotgun in his hand or the rifle in his hand. Obviously very distraught. We want to make sure that he's put the rifle down.
As far as we know, that
don't look at pull back.
Yeah, let's. Oh my gosh, that's terrible! Absolutely
Jesus.
Terrible.
He has killed himself. Yeah. He has killed himself.
I'm laughing because they don't know how to say don't show it. Like, this is going to be bad. Pull the camera back. No, let's not. And then it happens to them.
And they're like, we are so sorry.
Brutal.
Yeah, that sure happened.
Good times.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:55.
You do not know how much we regret that got on the air.
All right. Thank you very much. Ralph Garman joins us now for the Showbiz Beat for a Wednesday. What you talking about, Ralph?
Pretty cool seeing Boone last night on Lost again.
La 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 la.
There's a lot of stuff I apparently missed.
Boone was sitting next to John Locke on the plane.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes.
Hi, how are you?
All right, yes, I remember that now.
Big, long conversation with
Boone.
But Boone,
yeah. I mean, that's going back.
That's what I'm saying. It's going back some.
I go, hey, I know that guy from somewhere. That's my whole...
Good to see Claire in the cab there. Yeah. That was nice.
That happened, sure.
Good to see Druggy McRockstar.
Sure.
Charlie returned.
Yeah.
It was a Lollapalooza. It was a big reunion show.
And it wasn't at the same time, so I don't know what
happened. Remember the professor who blew himself up with the dynamite from the pirate ship? He was there?
I don't remember that guy. No.
Kevin, why do you bother watching Lost?
I don't know. I get a general feeling that it's good.
He was the one talking to Hurley, saying, hey, this guy owns the chicken company. How did you get to own a company, be CEO of a company? He was on the plane talking to him, that guy.
Yeah, I don't know that guy. I didn't.
He was the one with the dynamite.
All right, listen, move on. I know, I got it. Dynamite for the ship.
There were so many returning characters last night.
Right.
Okay, do you remember Hurley?
Him, I do remember.
It was exciting.
Okay.
It was exciting.
It was fun.
It's exciting.
It's a good show.
Good show last night. Let's talk about movies, shall we? Clash of the Titans is moving its release date because Warner Brothers has announced they're decided to convert the entire movie into 3D. Here's the thing with the Avatar success. Every movie that comes out now will be 3D.
It's sort of been going that direction. Hasn't there been more 3D?
Little by little, but now the dam has opened. Floodgates have opened. Dam is broken.
Well,
all hell's breaking loose.
If you make more money with a 3D movie... And
that was for children.
And people who go to the movie seem to enjoy them more in 3D. Why not? Sounds like a win-win.
Yeah, but it's going to be an epidemic.
Yeah.
The last two Harry Potter movies, the 7th and 8th installments of that movie series, just announced they're converting those into 3D. A family movie called Cats and Dogs. Anyone remember that? Cats and Dogs?
No.
There's a sequel out called The Revenge of Kitty Galore.
Nope.
That will be in 3D. A kids movie called Guardians of Gahuli.
That's being released in 3D.
I can see the special effects movie like Harry Potter and stuff. You could,
yeah,
because of Avatar,
cool.
it would be useful, but it's not useful
everything,
on every movie.
Everything 3D. Just announced, Universal said they're re-releasing Schindler's List in 3D.
Is that right?
We don't need that.
Don't
really?
Need that. No.
Wow, looks like they're really walking into that oven. I'm just saying, you don't need that in 3D. Gandhi in 3D? Oh, you can see him get thinner right in front of your eyes. He's really thin now.
Don't need that.
Benjamin Button, oh, he's getting younger in 3D. Do you need that?
Don't need that.
No, I'm saying no. Stop the madness in the world of Susan Powder.
I've never seen a 3D movie. It won't surprise you. But isn't it just an upgrade, a visual upgrade, as if it's just like seeing regular TV versus high def? I mean, it sounds like, why not put everything in 3D if it's better?
First of all, you got to wear asinine glasses.
They haven't figured out how to do it without the stupid glasses.
You gotta wear stupid-ass glasses. And second of all, it only really makes an impact when they do something 3D-ish, which is, ooh, this cleaver is coming towards your face. They have to, like, build those moments into the movie to really be impactful.
So if it's just a regular sitting around the diner talking movie,
right,
it looks exactly the same in 3D as it does
not
in 2D?
Exactly the same, but you're like, ooh, look how lifelike that diner table looks. It's just not as exciting. Now, Avatar was built for the explicit purpose of being in 3D, so you had things in the foreground and stuff. It was very impressive how they built those shots.
They didn't do it in stunts.
No, but they didn't say, ooh, here's some molten up balls. Oh,
look out, something's coming over the audience.
Yeah.
They didn't do that.
3D porn.
Ew.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, where's that?
Depending on
who it
is.
They've tried it.
Have they?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
They're on the forefront of every...
Yeah, they've tried it. Back in as early as the 70s, they did a 3D porn.
And how's it look?
Called The Stewardesses, I believe, was the first 3D porn movie. And then they've tried it a bunch of times since. But it was the red and blue was the technology back then, which wasn't so good. Now they've got the polarized 3D, which is much better.
Still got to wear the glasses, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the downside.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're Jay-Z, I couldn't help but laugh at the Grammys, how everybody in the audience was wearing the glasses for the Michael Jackson tribute, except for Jay-Z, who's too cool to put those on.
Speaking of big movies, Pirates of the Caribbean 4, of course, starring Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow's in the works. I'm guessing that'll be in 3D, too.
Sure.
As well. Tambien. He's already got Alice in Wonderland, new Johnny Depp movie. That's in 3D.
Oh, is it really?
Tim Burton. That's a 3D film. Yeah.
That looks good.
Johnny has announced he is working on a documentary, and the reason I bring this up is because it is about his pal and the person he based Captain Jack Sparrow on, Keith Richards.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
He is doing a feature-length film documentary about the life and times of Rolling Stone Keith Richards, which could be pretty interesting.
Is he going to include the point in his life where he snorted his dead father?
I sure hope so. He snorted his dad's ashes. I'd like to see that in 3D.
Yes, I would
as well.
You
can actually see the ashes go up his nose.
Was it Keith Richards, Jack Sparrow's father in the last movie?
Yes, he was. He had a cameo as his dad.
Yes, he was.
And Kevin, you'll be happy to know that Ringo Starr is in the news.
Thank God,
love
some more Beatles. Yes.
Ringo is getting his Hollywood Walk of Fame star on Monday. It's just been announced. Monday, he will be receiving his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Were they hoping he would die before they had to give him one?
How
Why
dare you?
Why so soon?
Well, here's the thing. The Beatles have their star, of course.
Right.
And then John Lennon's got one.
Right.
And George Harrison has one. And Ringo now will be getting his, leaving Sir Paul McCartney as the only solo Beatle without a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Well, he was the lamest Beatle. Everybody knows that.
So wait, they're going to give one to Ringo before Paul McCartney?
Here's the thing. He was approved. Paul McCartney was approved for a star years ago, but he's just never bothered to put it in, to like have it done.
He doesn't really need it.
He doesn't really care that much.
You know what I mean? Star. Like, he's
Ringo
famous enough.
Wants the freaking star.
Yeah,
he needs
of course. He needs it.
Because he's going to put a cup down on the star, and hopefully people will throw change at him as he goes by. I guess he doesn't need the money, though, Ringo. They're probably well off.
I suspect he's doing okay.
Adam West, by the way?
No star. Great point.
No star. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Rapper Sean Kingston is 28 years old today. Actress Isla Fisher celebrates her 34th birthday. Maura Tierney of ER fame and News Radio. She's 45 years old. Thomas Calabro from Melrose Place. Dr. Michael Mancini is 51. We got to get him on the show. Mancini on the show.
Mancini?
Let's see what he... Let's go check out what's in his fridge. Let's go to his house and see what's in his fridge.
Let's not do that.
Come on, guys.
Let's not.
No. Nathan Lane's 54 years old today. Morgan Fairchild turns 60. And Blythe Danner, a very talented actress and also the mom of another successful actress, Gwyneth Paltrow, is 67 years old.
So how dare you?
The big gap I left there wasn't timing.
Wasn't big enough.
Do it again.
Okay. Mother of actress. Nope. You might want to hold off a little bit the next time.
Sorry.
Mother of actress Gwyneth Paltrow. She celebrates
her.
No, but I don't have any more time. Let's or patience. Right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
New song by the Dirty Heads featuring Rome, who's the new singer of the band that used to be called Sublime.
No, thank you.
Called Lay Me Down. On the world famous K-Rock at 9:14.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, it's been a long time since I've seen Ralph go as gay for a new show as he has been for Human Target. It airs Wednesday nights at 8 on Fox. And I have to ask, Ralph, is it because of the DC Comics connection? Is this like your fanboy showing through because you loved the Human Target from back in the day?
I was a fan of the character in the comic books, but the show is very different from the comic books. And it is, in a world of James Bond and Jason Bourne and all those guys, you wouldn't be thinking you'd be able to do a spy sort of action-adventure story. It would be different in any way.
It's been done to death.
It's been done to death.
Right.
But I'm telling you, Human Target's one of the best new shows on television. I am addicted to the show every week.
Well, it doesn't hurt that you got a little bit of a crush on the star of the show who plays Christopher Chance. He is the Human Target. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Valley joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mark, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks, guys.
You don't want crazy guys like Ralph talking about the show the way he's talking about the show. He's insane over Human Target.
I love the show, Mark. It's amazing.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks.
It plays like a feature film every week. I mean, the production values are just through the roof.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't really have the money to do a lot of computer-aided tricks, so we actually just blow things up.
So because lack of money, you just explode things. I like it. Now, how many episodes have aired? Have there been three?
There have been three so far, and a fourth episode is going to air tonight.
I can't wait. What is tonight the one where you're fighting in a gondola dressed as a monk or something? What was that?
Dressed as a priest. Sort of like a Matrix / monk.
Okay.
That's sort of the way it ended up looking. But yeah, I slide down a cable down a mountainside and just sort of, you know, casually crash into a gondola and a fight ensues.
Mark, I got to tell you, there's a lot of stunts and stuff in this show, a lot of fight choreography. And it looks like, largely, you do most of it yourself. Am I right?
I do my best, you know.
So no,
I give it a shot. Yeah.
You do, okay?
Yeah, I do. I do a lot of the stuff myself, except except for the really dangerous things. But we're doing an episode right now where we have all these like MMA fighters in, and we're kind of fighting in this ring in what's supposed to be Brussels, and they're all doing a very convincing job of letting me punch them.
Making you look good?
Well, you look like you know your way around a fist.
Well, thanks.
Is that a compliment?
Nice thing.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
it's not what Psycho Mike says, I'll tell you that.
Wow.
Now, let me ask you this, Mark, because you've played such a wide variety of characters. I mean, you know, we know you as a doctor, we know you as a lawyer. Is it tough to put on the skin of being a guy like Christopher Chance and actually becoming an agent? Is that something that you're comfortable with as an actor playing cool like that?
Well, it's getting easier and easier as each episode goes along, because I was just sort of excited about reading the script. I thought, oh, God, this sounds like a really cool show. And where does he go next? And what does he do next? And then it's like, wait a minute, I got to do this. How am I going to pull this one off?
Then you start getting nervous?
Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, I guess somebody might be a little bit nervous sliding down a gondola and crashing into something.
That's not something you do every day.
It works for me.
That's what you're saying.
But, you know, Marcus, to your credit, that the character of Christopher Chance, it would be easy to sort of play the BS tough guy role in a series like this. And you really, there's a lot of humor and a lot of humanity to this character, which you don't see that in a lot of projects like this.
Oh, thank you very much.
And you got great actors to work with, too. You got Chi McBride and Jackie Earle Haley, which are equally great on the show.
Yeah, and a lot of thanks goes to those two guys. I mean, their experience, they've been around for a while, and they make me feel young.
They don't
let me take myself seriously for very long stretches. So
you were on an episode of Fringe. You got a couple episodes.
I got the chops. Yeah,
you got the chops.
Chops.
You got a good history there.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell us what's coming up this season. Where does the character go?
Oh, this season we've got we got an episode that goes up to Alaska. It takes place in a mining town. We've got one in Guatemala, where Chance goes back to see an old lover of his who overthrew the government together, and apparently they have some more problems down there. So.
Another one of those.
By the way, I have to thank you as a fan of the show, Mark. The hot chick quotient on Human Target is pretty high.
It's way high, yeah.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, you got at least one an episode, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think people were saying, what's the show about? And I was like, well, we're really just kind of protecting beautiful women from ugly guys.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's a pretty good explanation.
This Human Target, we're talking to actor Mark Valley, who's the star of the show Human Target. It airs tonight at 8 on Fox. And what's great about Human Target, I think, is that when they do the inevitable porn knockoff, they don't even have to change the title. I mean, you got to love that.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying, you got to love that.
Really?
What?
Wow. Really?
Sorry about that, Mark.
Sorry. We tried not to let him out of his pen. But,
yeah.
All right. Go ahead and play Being the Interview Killer. I'm ready for it.
Oh, dear God.
New episode tonight at 8 on the Fox Network. Mark, we're big fans of your work on all your stuff, and congratulations on the success of Human Target. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks very much, guys.
We appreciate it. Thanks.
Ralph has a final look at the Showbiz Beat coming up in a few minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, though, we turn our attention to the big game. You know, $3 million a commercial to get on the Super Bowl. And it seems like they're turning away more than they're accepting this year.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen a year where so many commercials have been rejected by the network, this time CBS.
Well, you know, GoDaddy always gets censored. They always say, oh, you can't play that. It's too sexy, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And which is ridiculous, by the way.
Right. So then they put them online or whatever, and they have to do an abbreviated version of it or whatever, a calmer version of it. Now they're talking about Dante's Inferno, the video game. They're not happy with the fact that the tagline says, go to hell, at the end of the ad.
Really? That's too...
Well, it's Dante's Inferno, though. I mean, it's set in hell.
So the ad has been revised to instead say, hell awaits.
All right.
And, of course, everybody knows about Man Crunch. Everybody's heard that story. CBS is telling Man Crunch that they do not want to air their Super Bowl commercial where two guys are watching the Super Bowl and they reach for popcorn and their hands touch and then they start making out.
Right.
And by the way, if you've seen the spot, it's available widely online. They're not making out at all. I mean, it's the fakest kiss you've ever seen. It's a guy basically burying his head into the other guy's neck. I mean, there's no man-on-man. But, I mean, I guess the network is just trying to be safe. They don't want to field 1,000, you know, emails and phone calls from parents going, why do I have to explain to my kids why men are kissing, I guess. And then, of course, the one that started it all for the 2010 Super Bowl was the Tim Tebow commercial. His mom, Tim Tebow, is a University of Florida college football star and Heisman Trophy winner, I believe, wasn't he?
I think so.
And his mom was counseled to get an abortion when she was pregnant with him, decided not to, and the commercial was, hey, I'm so glad. Holy mackerel, I'm glad I didn't abort him. So the commercial is all about how awesome, you know, life is, and you should, you know, think about the human being that your fetus will become. And that one, of course, is not airing either. So it's been nothing but controversy so far.
Are they accepting ads, or are they just turning them all down left
and
right?
No, they can afford not to take any. Apparently.
Yeah, I guess it's just going to be Muzak for 2 minutes every time they go to a commercial. Nothing to watch.
So we did some research, and we found some other commercials that have been banned for the Super Bowl this Sunday. Eli Manning, for example, for the NFL's Play 60 Youth Fitness Program. This commercial has been banned.
Okay. They love
Eli. Hi, I'm Eli. NFL Play 60 for all the fat kids. Don't be fat, because then people will pick on you and push you down, and girls will never touch your pee-pee. So take it from me, Peyton Manning. Hi. Hi, I'm Peyton Manning. I'm in the Super Bowl.
What?
I'm a Super Bowl quarterback. Throw it to me. Hi.
Eli, you got to stop telling people you're Peyton.
What?
You can't tell people you're Peyton.
Oh, I'm not Peyton. They made me say I'm not Peyton. I wish I was. I hate Peyton. I want to be in the Super Bowl. Oh, look, a penny.
Apparently that one not accepted.
Well, that's bad for his image, I guess. That's kind of sad.
Here's one for Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Apparently they wanted to advertise.
What could be wrong with that?
In the Super Bowl. It's an ad for responsible drinking.
Yeah.
With David Hasselhoff.
Hey, everybody. David Hasselhoff here. I hope you're enjoying the Hoff Time Show. Hey, listen, the Hoff loves to rock, but if there's one thing I've learned over the years, if you're tailgating for this party, drink responsibly. Don't get behind the wheel of your Coche Fantastico if you've had a few cocktails. Make sure you drink responsibly like me. Oh, that's good.
Oh, this is a mess. How far is the hotel from the Super Bowl? Do you get rooms there? Oh, average.
How did they not play that? Doesn't that say don't drink more than anything you've ever seen before?
I would think so. Don't be like David Hasselhoff, sure.
And finally, we found another ad that has been denied access to the Super Bowl. This one is for an online dating service, and its spokesperson is Sean Connery.
Hello, this is Sean Connery. Are you single? Lonely? Looking for love?
then go to SeanMatch.com. I'll partner you up with someone who loves to or for you ladies, someone who likes to take their and stick it in your Yes, it's true love with SeanMatches.com. I'll even find you someone who likes to your
What?
So please join SeanMatch.com and find your perfect partner. Tough.
How's that one not okay?
Good question. Rough. I can't stop the support coming in from the anti-ketchup nation. I'm getting inundated with emails like this one from Alana. I'm with you, Bean. Ketchup is gross and it smells nasty and it ruins anything it touches. I'm telling you, there's a lot of us out there that hate ketchup.
I'm telling you something. That girl is gross, smells nasty, and ruins anything she touches.
That's no, true. So no,
I'm with Alana on this one. I'm sorry. It's just ketchup is evil and it's from the devil. That's all I'm saying.
Ketchup, first of all, is just a condiment.
It's
fine
the worst,
sometimes on some
worst
foods.
Worst of all condiments.
It's not appropriate for other foods, but it is not worthy or possible for it to generate any sort of hate or love. One on the spectrum
to
or the other.
The hate.
It's just
it
a condiment.
It ruins everything it touches.
No, it doesn't.
Alana is right.
Kicks ass on french fries. Kicks ass on, nope. on burgers, hey, on hot dogs.
Nope. No, it's no mayonnaise. It's no mayonnaise. It's no mustard.
Yeah,
it's
you're
no
right.
ranch
it's
dressing.
No mayonnaise. It's good.
Yeah, mayonnaise, by the way, has a lot more detractors than ketchup does, I guarantee you.
I love mayonnaise.
A lot of people gag at the thought of mayonnaise.
Banana and mayonnaise sandwich, one of my favorites.
See, this is all you need to know. This is all you need to know about Bean.
That's
all you need to know. It's right there.
We rest.
Yes, thank you.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Not that there's anything more important than this discussion, but what else is going on?
Well, Psycho Mike's going to be happy. They've just announced a brand new Broadway musical in the works based on the 2000 movie American Psycho.
Yeah!
Patrick Bateman on Broadway.
Woo!
If you haven't seen that movie, it is an effed up movie.
An early Christian Bale stars as Patrick Bateman, of course, from the book by Bret Easton Ellis. And it's a murderous banker, basically, who has subversive fun killing and mutilating.
Women.
Carving people
Women.
Up.
He does dudes, too. Doesn't he do Jared Leto?
Yeah, only because he makes more money than him. So, yeah, good point.
But okay, that's a
so,
dude.
Yeah, and he kills
a barely. I mean,
he kills
barely a dude, but it's
a
dude.
He kills a bum for being a bum.
That's there you go. So, it's not just women.
It says something about a guy's psyche if he watches that movie 500 times, which he has.
And reads the book over and over. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Psycho Mike's obsessed with that character and that story.
Oh, he's the best.
That's because he is Psycho
but
Mike.
I don't think it's just he enjoys it from an entertainment standpoint. I think Patrick Bateman is a guy that Mike would be if he had the nerve.
Yeah, he relates to it. It is the catcher in the rye.
Yes, for Mike.
To Mike's John Lennon assassin.
Yeah.
Mark David Chapman.
Yeah, that dude.
I love everything about Patrick.
When Bateman. The cops come to get Psycho Mike, they will find a dog-eared copy of that book stuffed into the back pocket of his jeans.
If you were heterosexual, you would be him.
Yeah. I mean, I just relate to
any
you.
Testosterone whatsoever.
But
Patrick Bateman, by the way, in the book and in the movie, there's a lot of allusions to the fact that he may be easily a thinly veiled homosexual.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay.
He beds women basically just for the trophy aspect of it. But he makes sex sounds.
No wonder.
Looking in the mirror while he's doing push-ups.
Well, yeah,
he is very much a narcissist.
No
in
wonder.
Love with
he's,
his own.
He's mostly asexual and in love with himself, if anything. Ralph's right. Yeah.
Which
so
is
he is
Psycho Mike. To a T.
All right.
So I think Mike should audition when they put him on Broadway.
Mike,
I'd like to look at myself in the mirror and kill bums. I mean, come on.
That's really all him.
Psycho Mike in a nutshell.
I'd like to put out the challenge for Mike maybe to maybe next week bring in some songs from Patrick Bateman, the musical. I would enjoy hearing that very much.
Mm-hmm.
Duncan Sheik will be doing the music for the show. He did a very popular Tony Award-winning Broadway musical called Spring Awakening. And I think Duncan Sheik also had some pop hits, right? Doesn't
he did. Barely Breathing was his big top 10 record, yeah.
I've never heard of that.
I am barely breathing. You'd recognize it if you heard it. Maybe
my
version doesn't do it justice.
Could you sing a little bit more for me?
I can't. That's all I know.
I haven't heard it yet, though.
But
so.
you know the song, Ralph. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm not sure. What was that again? The barely breathing? Could you sing a little bit more of that for me?
I can't. I've forgotten it already. I have forgotten it.
All right.
Just sing a little bit.
Rick writes in, Bean, I'm with you on the ketchup.
Shut
it's one
up.
Of the grossest things on the planet. The smell of it actually makes me sick to my stomach, says Rick.
Listen, because people have issues, because there's some effed up people out there, doesn't mean you're right.
But you try to turn it as if I'm some sort of one-of-a-kind freak, and I'm telling you there's many people out there.
I never said you're a one-of-a-kind freak.
No, there are a lot of freaks.
You're just a freak, and in this particular arena, you happen to have a lot of co-freaks.
Mayonnaise kicks ketchup's ass.
Ralph's exactly right. If you said on the air, I feel like we should go back to slavery, there'd be plenty of people that agree with you.
That's right.
It doesn't make you
doesn't
right.
Make it right.
Yeah. Exactly. Although,
Don't even.
worth taking a look at.
Don't
right?
even start it.
I'm not even saying the blacks have to be the slaves.
There's people out
there's
there.
There's a lot of people out there who I would pick before I got to the blacks for slavery. You know what I'm saying?
Should we list them? Let's not. If you don't mind. The guy who came up with that sound.
Like, should for
be
instance,
a slave.
That guy.
Just that guy.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
This one went off the wheels, didn't it?
Well, yeah, and who pushed it that way?
Went off the tracks, too.
With the wheels, right.
What's going on?
Went off the wheels.
No, dude, look. I mean, really, right?
Yeah.
Is Lady Gaga a cutter? Star Magazine shows scars on her arms and what also looks like a bad burn on her forearm, leading...
She's a burner?
Leading the geniuses in Star Magazine to draw the assumption that... She has some emotional issues, and that's one of the reasons she has canceled several shows in this current tour, because she is having some sort of breakdown, including some self-mutilation issues.
Lady Gaga?
If she's going to start mutilating, we'll start with her face.
Like
leave
she
your
hasn't.
Arms alone. Although I'm still oddly attracted to her some way.
You are?
Yeah.
No.
No. No.
No.
She's not at all pretty.
That's not what
she's
I'm saying.
She's not sexy?
I didn't say she was, but if there is some sort of quality about her... Either it's the theatricality or the I think she's very talented and interesting.
Sure.
There's some fascinating element to her that I still find myself drawn to, like a moth to a flame.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a flame, all right.
That's what it is. Maybe she's on fire.
Wow.
I don't know. I can't explain it, but I find her interesting.
I don't.
Maybe we'll have to beg to differ.
Back to you. I get a lot of support.
I get lots of
emails like crazy.
They say she's fascinating.
I have a lot of emails. A lot of people out there agree with me.
Today's celebrity birthdays: actress Blythe Danner. Can I hear Barely Breathing one more time? Can you sing that Barely Breathing song?
I forgot it. I don't even remember the song.
Actress Blythe Danner, who is also the mom of Gwyneth Paltrow. She is 67 years old today. Blythe Danner is quite attractive, by the way, in her day.
And so is Gwyneth Paltrow, by the way.
I think I'd hump Blythe first.
Yeah, yeah. I would too, absolutely.
I agree.
How dare you?
It depends. Yeah. Gwyneth in Iron Man, pretty hot.
Yeah. But that's CGI.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe.
When they had the suit built in the lab when they were doing the special effect for that movie, they also built, like, super hot Gwyneth Paltrow to put up on the screen.
She's an oddity in that she has A cups that somehow hit her navel. I don't know how you can have both, but...
It is. It's like a roll of pennies and a dress sock. It's not at all big, and yet somehow it also is droopy. That's true. I don't know how she manages that.
Ball sack.
Wow. I wish I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
Morgan Fairchild is 60 years old today. Nathan Lane is 54 years old. Nathan is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nathan Hershey Lane, they call him on Broadway.
I've never heard that name.
Yeah, true.
How about that?
Actor Thomas Calabro from Melrose Place is 51 years old today. Maura Tierney, the very talented actress, is 45. Isla Fisher from Wedding Crashers and other feature films is 34 years old. And rapper Sean Kingston celebrates his 28th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have a robot that you can buy for $7,000 that will have sex with you and talk to you.
Yeah.
He's very excited.
Is it $10,000 if it doesn't talk to you?
If it doesn't talk, yeah.
More
I'm not sure why that's a positive, but it seems to be. We're going to tell you about an MMA church. A lot of people are trying to get youngsters into church. This particular one is taking an MMA angle.
Our Lady of the Boat of the Dome.
And they have a t-shirt, I believe, that says Jesus didn't tap.
Yeah!
I'm pretty sure they have that.
Yeah!
So that's happening. We have Mark Burnett talking about Shark Tank, which Ralph loves beyond
love
words.
Shark Tank.
We have Lisa Edelstein speaking of things that Ralph loves from House. We have Seth MacFarlane, creator of Family Guy.
Wow.
Like a Ralphapalooza. All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Kat Corbett's coming up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including some Linkin Park, Violent Femmes, Rise Against Social D. Probably not Duncan Sheik's Barely Breathing, but we can hope. That's coming up right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.